listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 151.
151, John. Did you ever think when we did episode 3 that we would hit 151?
No. I didn't.
Yeah, I thought we'd be lucky to get 10 episodes. 151 later.
Well, 100.
It's not in the can yet, John.
It's not in the can yet.
Could get ugly. Like, in episode 30-something, 8, when you kicked me out of your house?
I did not. That was for the show, man. I did it for the show.
37 or 38, can't remember. That was the last time we heard from Spike. And then,
right,
John.
And that was it. It was like, okay. And you blame me for all the sound effects he was making.
But Spike has reposted on the forum, John.
Really?
I can't remember what he posted. But he reposted.
And then reposted.
Stephen Cease asked about, well, are there going to be any more shows from a Spike and Rachel?
Oh.
And I don't think he ever replied. Of course, I really don't follow the forum that well.
No?
So who knows?
That's real nice. Where did he post? Do you remember?
In the forum, John.
Well, that narrows it down. Which one?
Don't we have a search utility or
I
something you could use?
Can you? I don't know. That stuff's all technical. It's for the kids, you know?
It is for the kids.
It's all technical to me.
Oh, speaking of the forum.
Yeah?
There was a forum thread about somebody made the comment that they don't like Rick's voice, that I should sing more.
Really?
And then somebody said, well, no, I like Rick. And I think Stefan, Stefan C came to Rick's support as well because he's seen Rick live.
Live and in person.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we play practice songs on here.
Yeah.
And for practice, I think Rick just goes through the motions.
Yeah.
Hold on, we have to lead into this.
Oh. All right.
But,
I don't want to show our hand too soon.
He's much more energetic live. And as far as vocally, Rick has a way bigger range than I do. I think Rick does everything really well. I only do like a little
I just think he has more power. I like you have a good voice. It's difficult to harmonize with you, though, because you go all over the place when you hear somebody else sing with you.
Right.
You start going, aah! Yeah, you try to do the same note. It takes discipline and practice.
Well, that's the way I learned to sing was by singing along to CDs and such.
You learned the lines.
I learned that, and that's how. So when you waver, I follow you. I'll follow you, or Rick, or whoever.
Waver. When you waver.
So Rick is a much better singer, much wider scope. I think there might be some things that I might do better, but it's a much narrower focus. You see what I'm saying, John?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, somebody in there said that...
Somebody.
I can't remember who. They said that Rick always sounds like he has a
nasally
cold.
Nasally. I think it was Paraboli.
Paraboli. And that may be true, but if you really want to hear Rick when he has a cold, we have...
Yeah, we have...
Those tapes,
tape.
John. Yeah, that tape.
Let me put in the cassette deck. The 8-track. 1, 2.
Yeah, so there's a big lead up to
this
the song
back
here.
Back in the day, man. This
way
is
back
like a
in
year
the day.
Ago when I had a TD3.
So this is Rick when he really has a cold. Coming up.
Listen now. You know I'm going to make a comeback. Like the... Or by smash, I'll speak to the masses, to the media. And if you got anything, you better say it with cash. I've got the chicken, you've got the gas, so baby, we can get along.
sing, Scott, or what?
It's good band. Yeah, it's right,
that's our first example.
Yeah.
Here's our second example of Rick with a cold.
Yeah.
It might even have been the flu. I mean, he was really...
He was dying.
Dying.
Something I can hold on to. I know you think I'm like the others before. You saw your name and number on the wall. Jenny, I got your number. I need to make you mine. Jenny, don't change your number. 8675309. Jenny, Jenny, you're the girl for me. You don't know me, but
that's our second
so
example.
Happy.
Yeah,
I think you have one more.
Yeah,
this is Rick really with a cold. Death's Door.
Makes me want to cough when I'm listening to it, doesn't it?
Was completely wasted, out of work and down. Inside it, so frustrated as I roam from town to town. Feeling like nobody can if I live or die. So I thought I might as well some action in my life. Breaking the law, breaking the law.
This one's not so bad.
No.
Breaking the law, breaking the law. Let's start.
Oh, here we go.
In the future, I can't even start. I've had every promise broken. There's anger in my heart. Feeling like an emissary. Have a clue. If you think you find yourself doing the same thing too.
That was it, man. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I didn't go back up.
You don't know what it's like. You don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
so
hear
there
that.
You have, that's Rick on a cold right there. Flu, whatever the hell he had.
Yeah.
So he's a much better singer than me. As you can hear now.
Seems to me a lot better than I think I am. I guess that's why they call me. Call me the working man. Yeah, they call me the working man. Guess that's what I am.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's good. They call you the working man because that's what you am.
That's what I am, John. Well, and the thing that's so important, if you are in a band, about the lyrics, is they cue so many of the changes in the song.
Yeah.
You know? So right. You have to have somebody at least humming what the lyrics are.
I come from the water. I crawl upon the shore. I left my brother.
That's a Scott.
From the water, yeah. I come from the water.
That's pretty good. Listen to the difference in the sound.
It's more than nature. It's like my destiny. I stood up on these legs and held my head up high.
That's a big difference, isn't it?
Big difference there, John.
Over.
One, two.
Yeah.
That's your evolving production skills, John.
baby, can't you see? I'm calling a girl like you to wear a warning. You're dangerous, I'm loving it. There's no escape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No escape.
Get laid. What's the next
no
line?
No escape. Get laid.
Tet-anus. That should be the next
Tet-anus.
Line.
Tet-anus.
There's no escape.
Tet-anus. Yeah. Yeah, it was cool, man. It was cool. It was cool, brother.
Cool, man. Cool. So how was your week there, John? What'd you do?
I poured way too big a cup full of this Knob Creek,
oh,
man.
Oh, speaking of the band, John.
The Knob Creek.
We'll be at the Beacon Tap
That's
on
right.
December 27th. That's a Saturday, John.
December 27th.
Between Christmas and New Year's.
7-2-7.
We'll also be there this Thursday night for Open Mic,
oh,
John.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. No doubt.
Right
Scott.
On. That's what I love about Open Mics is usually takes about 20 minutes for guys to even set up.
Yeah.
And then they play three songs that last 15 minutes each.
We're going to play three songs that last 1 minute each.
To waste more than an hour of your time. So we're going to get up there, set up, and play before most bands even set up.
Right.
And we're going to play five songs. And we'll be done in, what, 14 minutes?
Yeah. We're going to play this one.
Sure.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus love. Yeah, it's a little distorted, man. I recorded on my old laptop, and it's just no good, man.
Well, that's all right,
it's
man.
No
that's
good,
right.
man.
You know, whatever,
no good,
man.
No good,
no
brother.
Doubt. All right, enough band talk.
All right, all right.
Enough with the band stuff.
Sorry, as my daughter would say, sorry.
Do we have more band stuff? Oh, the one thing I like about open mic is making fun of everybody.
Oh, God, it's so stressful for me.
Why is it so stressful?
Because you think you're better than everybody else.
I don't think that.
Look at this guy with the
mullet here. I don't think that.
This guy's going to suck.
I know it.
This guy's going to suck. And then he gets up there and he plays great.
Yeah, and then,
yeah,
then it's like, oh, yeah, I can see why he's so great. The guy has no social life. So he can spend 14 hours a day playing his guitar. That's obvious.
You know, live
with the
and let live, you fucking. You know,
yeah.
Open mic night guys are like skinheads gay bashing. That's what you are like.
I don't mind skinheads gay bashing.
You know, you don't.
I'm a skinhead, and you know, you and I, we haven't made our choice yet because it is a choice, right?
It is a choice. It is a choice. It's what I heard. So we have another Andrew's Minute tonight. He even supplied his own bumper.
Wait a minute, Andrew's Minute right off the bat?
No, we have one tonight.
Oh,
I'm just
you're saying
setting
what's coming up.
What's coming up?
I
usually,
see.
You know, there's a monologue.
I
you
see.
You come
very
out
good.
And you talk about what's going to happen on the show.
We've seen some movies.
Saw
right?
some movies, yeah.
Andrew's
I saw
Minute
one.
Is going to come up.
And I had a wonderful trip to Yorktown? On Saturday.
To see the movie?
Yeah. That was a fucking nightmare.
Why'd you go to Yorktown?
Because the people that we're going to see it with were having a little birthday celebration at P.F. Chang's.
Oh, I love P.F. Chang's. What did you get at P.F. Chang's?
I don't remember. Some kind of beef
You
thing.
Don't like P.F. Chang's?
Yeah, they're all right.
I love their chicken wraps.
No, lettuce wraps, you doof. Chicken wraps. No, what, do you just take chicken skin and wrap it around
they
a
bring a chicken out
piece
and
of food?
I put lettuce in it and wrap the
and
lettuce.
You wrap the lettuce with the giant chicken? Excellent. I love those big ground beef wraps.
I love me some P.F. Chang's, John.
Yeah, so we did that.
Who was that with?
Zach and Deidre.
Oh, and Deirdre. Whose birthday? Yeah.
Deirdre's.
Oh, that's right. I should know that, John.
And Zach ended up leaving 10 minutes into the meal.
Why?
He got really pissed, man. He
About
slapped
what?
Her.
Bullshit.
No, he started. He had a headache and was nauseated and had to lay in the car for a while. And he came back and he was all gray and he looked like he was going to die.
What was wrong with him? You
know,
usually 90% of the time you get a headache, it's because you're dehydrated.
I don't know. He hadn't eaten or something, or he was trying to drink water. He couldn't do it. And he said, Deirdre told me that she got home and he was laying in a pool of sweat.
Oh, he must have had the flu or something.
No, he woke up the next day. He felt great.
Sweated it out 24 hour.
Yeah,
either that or it's a unique strain of HIV.
Yeah, that just happens in 24 hours right. And it's over with, right?
Well, that's the onset. Oh. And, you know, and then you have to live with it. And then you become Magic Johnson.
Right. Who probably just faked the whole thing.
That guy's still alive. Like, he came out, what, in 1991? Yeah.
I think he faked it for attention.
And he said...
the buzz.
He acquired...
Michael Jordan and the buzz.
He said he acquired HIV.
He acquired it?
Right, like, that's not the right grammar.
I acquired HIV.
Like he went to school for 4 years and then he got HIV. Like he acquired his diploma.
Oh, man. I thought HIV was a diploma, like a degree, man.
Hey, don't make fun of Magic, man.
I got a PhD in an HIV.
He's the Magic
Hell
Man.
No. Yo, man, I got not only did I get a PhD, I got
arguably,
an HIV.
Arguably, John, greater than Michael Jordan.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Did you see that video on YouTube where Jordan got schooled by the investment banker or whatever?
I went to watch it, and I don't know. So many people were watching
He threw up like five layups on the J-Man.
J-Man let him do that.
No.
Was the guy white?
No.
He was black?
White. He was African-American.
Oh, well, I need to see it then.
And then and it was like his clinic, you know, it was like some sort of a basketball clinic. And
Jordan's camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was what's that comedian?
Andrew Dick?
No.
Paulie Shore? Which one?
No, it was the black one. Did I narrow it down for you?
Mm-hmm.
It was
Chris
God
Rock,
damn
man,
it.
Of course.
No, it's the guy that does, he does like Handyman on like Mad TV or whatever.
I don't watch Mad TV. Come on,
Living
man.
Living Color.
D.H. Hughley.
No, the other guy.
Wayans.
Yeah. Damon Wayans. And Damon Wayans starts giving him shit. He's like, oh, hell no, man. You just let this guy beat you, man? You shouldn't have your poster up there for your camp. It should be this guy, whatever the guy's name was. I mean, he was giving him some shit. It was good.
Well, this gym that I used to belong to, apparently when Jordan was in his playing days, every once in a while he would show up at this gym. So I go and play there, and I have these fantasies about him walking in, you know, and me taking him down one-on-one.
Yeah.
But I can understand why he lost a game. I mean, it's the CEO, right?
No, it was a bunch of clowns. It was an audience of people that did this thing, and they had the clinic in, like, the hallway.
What was the game up to? Was it, like, 5 or 7?
I don't know. Something like that.
Because I used
Jordan
to play...
threw up a bunch of bricks instead of running around the guy and slam dunking, because I think the net was like 8 feet high instead of 10.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. You got to see it, man.
I got to check it out.
But
I went to watch
just...
it, and it kept stalling on me, so I was like, ah. But
and
I understand
the guy did
that.
Some, you know, double pumps on him, and you know, it was half court, and it was... keep shooting until you miss, and then you gotta, you know,
understood.
Hand over the ball.
Understood. Well, here, you know, I have played a lot of one-on-one games, and I played with, you know, I'm a genius on the court. I don't know if you know that, John, but especially in a one-on-one
just like
situation.
You're drumming and guitar play.
So anyway, I used to play Mr. Schmuel like all the time, and I think out of the 500 times we've played, Mr. Schmuel beat me on maybe two occasions.
He's less than 1%.
One of them is because we had four-pointers,
You had diarrhea really bad.
If the ball went over the fence, if you went to get it in the other yard and shot a 4 point, if you made it, it was worth 4 points.
Nice.
That was the, you know, that was the.
What was that when you're 12?
No, this is like when I'm 18.
Oh.
And then the other, we
had to do a 4 point.
We had a picnic table that he used to like to use as a buffer, you know, so I couldn't defend him.
Yeah.
So I would just play just, you know, kind of very nonchalantly. And when it got down to the last, we'd play to 100 or 50 or whatever. And when it got down to, 100 or 50. So 50 or, we'd decide beforehand.
Okay.
But we played with threes and twos, you know, and 4 pointers if the ball went in the other yard.
Yeah.
And so I would just, you know, play really no defense until it got down to the last 10 points. So on a couple of occasions, I really locked down my defense, but he would go behind a picnic table, hit a three, or he'd jump over the fence and get a 4-pointer, and he won those games. So I can see how that would happen.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of walking through the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, brother.
You try to batten down the hatches for the last 10 points, and it doesn't go your way. That's how the cookie crumbles. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I hear you. I hear you, brother.
So when I saw that video headline, that's what I'm assuming. Is Jordan's like, I'll go through the motions, and then I'll tighten it up in the last couple of points.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't go his way in the last couple of points. So that's completely understandable.
He's trying to throw up. He was shooting from the free throw line, like every shot, and he... You know, he'd fake him, and then he'd throw one up there, and swish, swish. And then he'd do it again, and brick, and the little guy would over, get the ball, bounce around him, run past him, lay up.
Well, that's the thing.
And you could see Jordan was kind of getting a little pissed towards the end there. He's like, oh, motherfucker. Because a real competitive guy is not going to let some little dude.
Yeah, you know he got totally pissed. Now, did he, if I'm Jordan, was it make or take?
Well, he punched the guy in the face right after.
Did he? Was
no.
it make or make a take or whatever they call that, where you, if you score, you get the ball back?
Yeah.
See, if I'm Jordan, I just go and dunk the last 5 points and I'm done, right?
Yeah.
He didn't do that, though.
No.
Yeah, obviously because this guy's, he probably works for this guy in some capacity. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, come on. Listen to you, man.
Look, Jordan's the greatest basketball player
no,
ever.
No, you said the HIV
one
was.
One on one. Nobody could beat Jordan. Nobody.
Yeah.
In a team dynamic, I can make an argument for Irvin, Magic Johnson.
Yeah. I hear you, brother.
You hear that, my brother?
Yeah. I hear you.
So I still belong to this gym, but I have to cancel my membership.
Why?
And every time I do go, I'm down in the basketball court by myself, and I'm just waiting for Jordan
to
come
through.
And
you're waiting to play faggot school?
And I'm waiting to play faggot school because...
Is that the same gym?
I know I would school him. You know why?
Is it the faggot school gym?
You know why I'd school him?
No, I don't.
Because I'm younger than him.
Yeah.
I'm white.
Oh,
and
that's real cool.
Well, no, because he would see me as this
towering figure,
white guy, right?
Oh, so he let up on you?
Who's like 5 inches shorter, and I wear black shoes.
what does that mean?
It's an illusion because when a white guy wears black shoes, he looks even slower.
Really?
Than he is.
Says who?
Says everybody. I mean, I look at white guys with black shoes. And I'm like, oh, that guy must be unbelievably slow. It's like an optical illusion.
What do you mean? I never heard of that.
Yeah. Well, I've been playing for a long time. I make these observations.
I see.
You see?
I stopwatch the guy, and then I. What do you
do? I used to wear white shoes.
I'm going to send that into MythBusters.
I used to wear white shoes, and then I saw a white guy with black shoes, and I said,
Scott.
Boy, that guy looks really slow.
That's why Billy White Shoes Johnson.
See, it's all about
switched
expectations.
To white shoes.
Look, you got a guy like me. I stroll in with black shoes, with my knuckles dragging, with my what would you
Your
call it? My walk? The walk
I don't
that
know.
I have is so
I've never
like
seen anything like
do,
it.
Do, do, do.
You ever see that video of Sasquatch back in the 70s? The one where they like catch him for a second and he looks back at the camera? That's you, man.
Right. Brr. So when I walk into a court or into a an arena, yeah, or whatever, and the people turn around, they look at me, they're like, oh, yeah, okay,
oh, yeah,
whatever.
I got this guy.
And their expectations are set. Don't have to worry about that guy.
And then you just tear him off.
But then you put the pill in my hand,
John.
You
put the pill in
the
his
rock.
Hand. The rock.
Give Forget
me the ball. Give
it.
Me the rock. Give me the ball.
That's
give
right.
Me the, give me the bill. Give me the ball. What? Do your Shaq impression.
I can't do Shaq.
You do it. It's great, man.
It's been a long time.
Give me the ball. Give me the pill. Give me the pill.
I have to hear Shaq.
I forget that line he always says, too. Give me the ball, give me the pill.
So
I'll take it to the paint.
Even if Jordan lost, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a shame that it was caught on video. And the guy
Such
is,
a shame.
Like, for me, I'm very competitive, but not at the level of Jordan. Jordan's competitiveness is, from what I've understood, what I've read, what I've heard, is unbelievable. Like, even in practice games with the Bulls, when he was with the Bulls, if he lost a practice game, He wouldn't talk to people for like a week.
Oh, nice.
So this has got to be fucking killing him.
Yeah.
That not only did
people
he lose.
People are emailing
him. Because this is old,
so
isn't
now
it?
He wants a rematch.
This is like 10 years ago when he was still playing.
No.
I think so, yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's an old video.
I don't know.
And it makes it to YouTube and it's become viral. He's got to be fucking going out of his mind.
Yeah, he just shot himself. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
Hey, but we saw some movies, right?
That's right, John.
No,
we didn't see them together.
No, but my trip was, I went to the Yorktown Plaza.
Yorktown.
Yeah.
And P.F. Chang's.
Yeah. And I'm thinking now, I'm worried that maybe, I just got this email from Phil, the bass player.
Phil, the bass player.
And he's got a story that was sent to him by an acquaintance. And he says, I was ticketed by an officer in a van with a digital setup and radar system in early May, traveling 61 miles per hour in a 45 construction zone on I-88.
Nice.
And he's got to pay. Oh, I received my must-appear citation, a close-up photo of me, a close-up photo of my car, and a close-up photo of my license plate, all time and date stamped. My court date was this week. I was probably one of 200 or so people in the courtroom, a makeshift courtroom at the American Legion bingo hall. He pleaded guilty and asked the court supervision. His fine broke down like this. $465 fine.
$465?
$465. $285 court costs for a total of $750.
Well,
court supervision was granted.
The construction zone thing is what
yeah.
racks up the price, right?
The judge actually apologized before proceedings to all present for the high court costs that would be assessed. But operating costs increased three times since last year.
It's because of the technology, John.
Yeah.
They got to pay for vans and cameras and film.
Yeah. This guy saw fines as high as 10 grand.
Oy. Well, my wife said that when you drive through Rosemont,
yeah,
you better make damn sure you stop
yeah.
if it's yellow. Because they got cameras. She works in Rosemont. And people that come into work that work with her from all over the area,
well,
50% of them have tickets sent to them in the mail because they rolled at a red light or they didn't stop.
Oh, I see the flashes going off.
Oh, yeah.
And they freak me out, man, especially at night. But to get to Yorktown, I got to take 294 to I-88. Yeah.
And go through the construction zone?
Yeah, so I get on which has been under construction since I've been going down to northern Illinois.
Hasn't everything been under construction?
20 fucking years. So I'm going down I-88 and some lady is fucked up and she doesn't realize that, I don't know, she was getting off at 83 and then she screwed up. So she's blocking 83, the ramp, and cars can't get past her. So she's got like the whole right lane backed up for 10 miles. So I go around and I got to get off at Highland Street or something. And I'm in the left lane and I don't see a sign that comes up really quick that says an arrow going to Winfield Road, it says. Well, next thing I know, I'm in a one lane express lane with those concrete barriers on either side. I got 10 minutes to get, or 15 minutes to get to the movie theater, which I'm literally within half a mile of, and I pass the street and there's no exit. I'm now traveling 9 miles away from my exit to get off at Winfield because of this fucked up express lane, which I had no intention of getting on. So I'm in the car, motherfuckering, at the top of my lungs, punching my steering wheel.
Is your wife sitting next to you?
Yeah, she's sitting next to me the whole time. So it wasn't very pleasurable for her. Not very pleasant at all. And
so
I'm
just
flipping out.
Is this to make the movie or to make dinner?
This is to make the movie.
To make the movie, okay.
And you know it's sold out, so it's like, oh, fuck.
But you already have tickets, right?
No, I don't have tickets.
You don't have tickets.
No. So she's calling Zach and Deirdre, and they said, we'll get tickets. And we said, no, don't bother. Just get some seats, and if we get there on time, whatever. And I'm like so goddamn pissed. The only way, and I'm thinking, I'm just going off about the motherfuckers that are doing this road. So I finally get to Winfield. I come back, and I turn around. I come back, and as I'm coming back, I must be doing 175, man. I'm like, and the wife's just like, oh, okay, honey, settle down. So now I'm reading this fucking email, and I'm thinking, oh, great. My picture is probably posted somewhere right now, and they're going to send me a ticket.
And what is the bill going to be for that?
I don't know.
Going 175.
But we get into
in a 45.
We get into this Yorktown, right? And I swear to God, Scott, you would think there's not an economic crisis going on. There could not be with as many fucking cars and cops directing traffic into this fucking place.
Was it the Premier Theater in Yorktown?
No.
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 It was like a standard theater?
It was the outside theater, yeah.
Ugh.
So, but the traffic to get in and out of this mall area was un-fucking believable. And we get there, and I drop her off at the door, and I park. And we get right in, and Zach's waiting with tickets, and we get in. But, and the movie just starts.
You didn't see any previews?
No. No previews. So the movie just starts, and I got this kid sitting next to me on the left side. He must be 6 years old.
Six?
And he can't fucking sit still, and he's kicking the railing.
And the movie is Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
Solace.
Yeah.
Who is he with? His dad? His mom?
He's with his dad. And his dad's trying to keep him cool, you know. And he's got his hand in my drink holder. And I'm thinking, okay, there's a drink holder on the end. There's one on the other end. So that means there's one extra drink holder between all these seats. So his dad has one to his left. He's got one to his left. Why is his hand in mine?
So he's six, man. He's
I lean over to him. I don't give a shit. I lean over. Hey, man, are you using this?
Are you using this?
Yeah. And he looks at me like with this terrified look of, look at this giant fat white guy about to eat me. And he just kind of shakes his head no, and his eyes are ginormous. And I put my water in there, and I just, you know, kick back. But through the whole fucking movie, he just was distracting me like you wouldn't believe with the kicking and the stretching. You know, you can't blame him. He's six.
Kicking what? What is he kicking?
The railing. We had the front row, not with the front row, but the front row of the balcony.
Why is he kicking the railing?
He's bored as shit, man. His dad's like, hey, boy, stop it, man.
Oh, they're black? He didn't say they were black.
Yeah.
Well, that changes the whole dynamic of the story.
Does that matter? Why?
When you said his eyes were bugging out, now I get a... I get a different visual than if he's a white guy.
See, if I'm him, big fat white guy's gonna eat me.
I'm if I'm him, the 6 year old,
settle down, man.
I'm like, hey man, chill out, big white man. You got a black president now, all right?
Yeah,
so let me do what I want.
That's what somebody said at work. One of the guys was messing with one of the other this black guy that we hired for marketing, and he's giving him shit. And he goes, "Yo, man, you better knock it off because we got a black president now. You know,
we
got
to get TP on the show."
So anyway,
episode 152, we'll just call it Bigotry.
Bigotry, the Bigot Show. But that's my story, getting to the theater and then participating in the viewing. What was that noise?
I don't know. I thought that was like from the backing track.
No.
No?
No, no, man.
No, man. No,
no. Brother.
No, brother.
It's all right. It's my,
that's all right, brother.
It's my soul voice, man.
Right on, and brother.
Hell, motherfucking no, man.
Hell, motherfucking no, man. All right, yeah. John. Well, I also saw Quantum of Solace.
Oh.
I just had to drive over to MovieCo.
Yeah. I had to drive 4,000 fucking miles to the
MovieCo,
next state.
MovieCo, Premier Theater, which is upstairs with the big love seats. You got to give your tickets to some jamoke, like he was 18, right? So you give the tickets to this guy. He leads you to your seats.
Yeah.
We had seat E5 and E6. Sit down.
Sit good.
Yeah, it's good. It's a nice seat. Nice seat.
Nice seat.
E5 and E6. He sits us down. He goes away. 2 minutes later, he comes back with another couple.
Oh.
And he's standing right in front of us, looking at us. And he's looking at the tickets, looking at us, looking at the tickets, looking at us.
Oh, my God.
Did you guys move?
Oh, I hope you punched him right in the balls.
Like, no, man. This is where you sat us, right here.
Yeah.
E5, E6. Well, that's not E5 and E6. Hey, man.
Oh.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but this is where you sat us. So don't give me shit.
You didn't say that. Come on.
That's what I was thinking.
You were like, oh, sure. We'll get up right now. I'm really sorry.
No, but I did stand up.
I'd be like, I just paid 16 fucking bucks
and
a seat.
And, of course, I towered over
him. And
I'm going
to throw your little fucking body over this railing.
And he said, well, I'll just have him sit here.
After he embarrassed your ass?
Yeah.
Oh. yeah.
So, but we're in the Premier Theater, John.
It would be like, get over here. Get your ass over here. Ooh.
But it was packed.
Yeah.
Upstairs, downstairs, theater was packed. And
wow.
It was like a 4 o'clock show
on Saturday. Yeah, ours was 3:30 on Saturday.
Yeah. And then afterwards, we went to Gibson's.
Nice.
All right, so let's talk about the movie, John. Quantum of Solace. Daniel Craig returns as Bond.
To me, it wasn't a Bond film. Hello? Hello? Is this mic on?
Why did he say that?
I just, I don't know. It just, I don't know. It wasn't Bondy.
It was all Bond to me.
It was all
and I'll tell you why.
New Bond.
Because of Daniel Craig.
Oh, shh.
All Bond. He sold me so much on Casino Royale.
Yeah, but he's not, you know, as smooth, man, as a Sean Connery. Even a Roger Moore.
Oh, come on. You got to be kidding.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're putting Roger Moore in front of Daniel Craig.
Yeah, he's
what you're doing.
He's even smoother. Yeah, where's the gadgets? No laser coming out of the fucking watch. No shoe bomb.
There's no time for gadgets.
What do you mean, no time? It's not Bond without the gadgets.
I have some complaints about this Bond, but one of them is not.
Well, that's one of mine.
Being not Bond.
One of mine.
Because he was all Bond.
Well,
all the time.
Shut up. He was not.
Yeah, he was.
He's over there crying. Oh, mother.
All right. That's my one complaint.
Mama. Mommy. It's my mom. What the fuck is up with that?
All right, John, so this was a sequel.
I want the old M back.
It's the first direct sequel in the spy franchise, John. What did it do, like $75 million this weekend? Did you know it cost $225 million to make?
What?
$225 million.
For what?
I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't
certainly
like,
wasn't on
it
the
wasn't
screen.
Like Moonraker,
you
where
that.
There's, you know, there's some visual effects.
I do have three very big complaints about
all right,
this movie.
Lay it on me.
Huge complaints. But I will say that for me, it was still a James Bond movie because of Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig.
Yeah, but there's no
at the very end.
What the fuck's with that? That is Bond right there,
right,
man.
Right on.
I
want to
hear
totally
the guitar
agree.
Go.
Totally agree.
None of that.
I hear
this,
that.
You know? Bow. You know?
It still worked for me. You know, and I read all the reviews.
It did. I liked it. I thought it was a great movie, but it just, it wasn't, I don't know.
So it's
it wasn't Bondy.
So Quantum of Solace is a sequel to Casino Royale. It picks up right where Casino Royale left off, John.
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't seen that movie, what happens in that movie is Bond falls in love with Vesper, right? But the whole thing's a sham. She's
Vespa.
Just playing him
Vespa.
So that she can save her boyfriend who's been taken hostage, right?
Right.
So you pick up in this movie, and here's my major complaints. These are huge complaints. I like the movie overall. I love Daniel Craig as James Bond. And here's the thing. Daniel Craig was the one who recommended this director, Mark Foster. He's the one who said, get Mark Foster to direct it. Huge mistake.
Why?
Huge mistake. Here's why, John. This is my number one complaint.
Is this your book report?
This is not my book report. This is my number one
Total talk
complaint.
Nonsense book report.
Now, I don't know if you how much you followed the story of Quantum of Solace and the making of Quantum of Solace.
Not the making of it, but
Bond got or Daniel Craig had three very serious injuries. One where his arm is in a sling. The other where he had to have stitches in his head.
Yeah.
And the third, he got his finger chopped off, or part of it.
Nice.
So this guy's putting his heart and soul into the role of James Bond. And what does Mark Foster do?
I don't know.
Mark Foster cuts up the action scenes.
Oh, yeah.
That so I don't even know what
what's
the
going
fuck is going on. And that
it
pisses
like,
me off.
It was like the movie you were talking about with Stifler and The Rock.
And I knew that going in. That was
that
the major complaint.
That bothered me a little
that
bit.
That bugged the shit out of me.
I mean, he had that great knife fight with, was that Anthony Michael Hall? He was knife
fighting.
That's
what my wife said.
That's what I thought.
And I said, no, it can't be Anthony Michael Hall. He was a geologist. I'm surprised a geologist put up that good of a fight. My number one complaint is you know that they have the footage. You know that they have the film. You know that they have all these shots. But what do they decide to do? They decide to make each shot last, what, a half a second?
Yeah.
And put them all together for 10 minutes. And I don't know what the fuck
is going
on. And
you want to throw up.
I don't want to throw up, but I'm aggravated at this shit. I mean, it was a goddamn mess.
Did he direct some of the? What else did he direct?
Who gives a shit?
Whoa,
Monsters Ball or something. Okay, so he can direct Halle Berry in a Billy Bob Thornton having sex. That's great. Let's put him in front of James Bond. Yeah, that's a great idea. The action scenes were just horrible. Opening scene, and then the next scene where he's fighting some guy in a church, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell who was who.
Right,
I didn't
right.
know which guy was running after which guy.
Right.
It was, I was so devastated by that. I kept thinking to myself... John, you and I, we've made films. We know what filmmaking is all about. We know that they have the footage. So is it, obviously it's the editing. But was the director, Mark Foster, standing over the editor's shoulder saying, no, cut it shorter, cut it shorter, cut it shorter, so it's incomprehensible?
Yeah.
See, the thing is, if you're directing and you're editing, you see the stuff so much. You see it 5,000 times when you're putting it together that your memory makes up for that, and you don't see what you're really putting on film. Yeah. So me, as a first-time viewer, I don't have the history of what the director saw. I have what's on film, and what's on film fucking sucked, man. And I was so upset by that. I was so upset. Because if they just took each little clip that they had that was under a second and just make it a second and a half, it would give me so much more continuity. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah.
And I would have given it 4 out of 4. But I'm only giving it 2 Spiny Normans.
Wow.
2.5. Let me give it 2.5 out of 4.
Wow.
Because I have other criticisms. Here's my other criticisms. Do you have any other criticisms?
No.
The other thing I couldn't buy at all.
Is that little weasel putting up such a good fight?
I'll get back to that.
Oh.
This is my second criticism, is that Bond would be so depressed over Vesper.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing that their whole relationship was based on a lie.
Okay, Mom.
Okay, so put yourself in Bond shoes, right? You hook up with this agent.
Yeah.
You have a what the hell is that shit?
Yeah, that's your microphone, man.
I'm going to try something here. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Get a fucking microphone that works, motherfucker!
What are you doing?
So,
you just rub it in your anus?
She's intelligent. She's attractive. You sense a connection with a Vesper.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You find out that she's been playing you the whole time because she's got a boyfriend.
Right.
And she's going to ready to steal $150 million to save her, not even her husband.
Yeah, right.
Her boyfriend. Okay.
Right.
If I'm James Bond, I don't know about you, John.
Okay, you're analyzing this way too much.
If I'm James Bond, I say,
oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, you're not. You're no James Bond. I know James Bond, and you're no James Bond, pal.
Wow. Was I wrong about that? I'm gonna.
He has feelings.
Yeah, I didn't buy it at all. I didn't buy it at all that he would get drunk, and he would.
What's the deal? There's no funny Bond girl name anymore.
Strawberry Fields. That's not funny to you.
Yeah, real funny. How about Octopussy? Pussy galore. That's what I want to hear. Not Strawberry Fields. Just call me Fields.
All right. Now getting to your point. Dominic Green.
I'm Mrs. On the Top.
Is one of the lamest villains in the history of the world.
It's like, fix your teeth. What's with your goofy eyeballs?
This was the guy who I talked about in an earlier movie, Diving Bell and a Butterfly.
Yeah.
Which is a foreign film.
I can't talk to you anymore. Oh.
Which I think he did an outstanding job.
What's the point of watching a movie if you got to read the dialogue?
But as a villain? The guy's like 80 pounds.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with you. That last fight scene, Bond would have dispatched him in under 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But no, he's got to fight Dominic Green for like, 5 minutes?
I do love the axe in the foot, though. That was very, very
awesome.
That
was nice. Yeah. But the Bond girls were nothing special.
Yeah.
Nothing. If you talk to Rick, I'm sure he loves Strawberry Fields because she had red hair.
Yeah.
But
I kind of dug her demise.
A Goldfinger kind of thing.
Yeah, I like a good quality.
What I kept wondering is
the Bond movies.
How did they do that?
What?
How did so
they oil her up without messing anything else up?
Right. It's in a very nice hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, the very first thing they show up in, where is it? Bolivia.
Yeah.
And they're in some shithole hotel. And I said to the wife, I said, "Hey, remind me never to book a trip to Bolivia." I mean, it's a
well, you just got to know what hotel
toilet
to go to.
Right. So Bond gets him to this other hotel. Very nice hotel.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to spoil anything here, but Strawberry Fields, they dip her in oil.
Yeah.
Not only that, her lungs are filled with oil.
Yeah.
So they had to bring a vat of oil.
For the dipping.
Up to this room, dip her in oil, and then put her on the bed, and then get the vat of oil out
without
nobody noticing.
Yeah.
Or spilling any of the oil. So I didn't know how that all worked out. I mean, that's got to be a...
I cannot stand M, though. I just... Every time she's on the screen, I'm like, somebody shoot her, like, you know...
Really?
Yeah, I just don't
like
her. I don't like her.
I like her. Why do I like her and you don't like her?
I don't know.
Why is that?
I don't know. I like the old crotchety men that he goes in their office and talks to them, then he leaves and he flirts with Moneypenny. And, you know... And
I like the scene where she didn't know. She was like, I don't know if I can trust this guy anymore. And so they revoke all of his status. They send him in an elevator with three guys who he dispatches of in less time than it took to dispatch of Dominic Green, who weighs all of 80 pounds. And he meets up in the hall with her, and he says, hey, I'm on it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, so don't
sweat
it.
I love that. Yeah, I love that scene.
Yeah.
Where she's like, I don't know about this guy.
He's my agent. Yes, Mom.
Mom.
Yeah.
That's what the M's for. Mom.
Yeah, whatever.
Mom.
Yeah, it was all right.
So if you're a James Bond film, of course, you have to see this fucking movie.
Fan.
I mean, you have to see it. What did I say?
Film. If you're a James Bond fan.
I said film?
It sounded like it. I don't know.
If you're a James Bond fan... You got to see this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just...
It's a little mushy, man.
Oh, they did another Bourne thing. Jason Bourne. What was it? Well, they stripped him of his status, which is like a Jason Bourne. I mean, he's not working for anybody.
Right.
He's just trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
What's
the other thing? They did one other thing that was very Jason Bourne-ish. Jason Bourne-ish, but I can't remember what it was.
Right.
Is... Has been.
Yeah. It's good. It was good. I thought it was very intense. Great action.
Good sound.
I just, it wasn't Bondy enough for me. I mean, the Bond movies are all about, there's a little bit of intrigue and investigation, and there's gadgets, and there's the women, and the way he just, you know, just totally blows him off when he does his thing to get information out of him. This guy is like too, oh, I love her. I'm on the rebound, so I'm going to hook up with Strawberry Fields.
Yeah, I'm on
really
the rebound.
Depressed.
From Vesper.
Vesper.
Who the whole thing was a lie. Oh, and then the very end, you get to meet the guy that she was protecting.
Yeah.
Or that she sold out the whole intelligence agency for.
And he's
banging
the guy's
a douche.
He's dark.
He's a total douche. That had to piss him off more than anything. The woman I fell in love with was in love with this douche, man.
About $150 million for your ass.
Right. Come on.
Yeah.
So that's all we have to say about Quantum of
Solace.
Yeah,
so then I went to P.F. Chang's for dinner.
I went to Gibson's.
And afterwards, went home and watched a really good movie.
Better than Bond?
The Bank Job.
The Bank Job. I haven't seen that one yet.
It's a good movie.
You recommend it then?
Yeah. It's a true story.
It's true.
Yeah, they're not, well, they're going to release all the files on this, what happened in like 2054.
Why 2054? Why not now?
You got to see the movie because it basically what happens in it, the dude from Transporter.
I like that guy.
You know, he's in it.
Handsome Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Handsome Rob, right. Handsome Rob is, he's kind of a small-time crook, and he owes money to the mob, and he's got like a used car business. He just basically, he steals cars and chops them down, and now he's trying to be legit. He's got a family. And this chick, this pretty hot chick, I can't remember her name. She gets pinched at the airport for smuggling drugs, and she calls in a favor, and it turns out it was a sham. The MI6 or MI5, whatever the branch of their branch of CIA is, needs her to get in touch with this guy because Handsome Rob, they figure he can go in and rob this bank. And inside the bank are these safety deposit boxes that this Nigerian national or something who calls himself Michael X, he supposedly got a bunch of photographs of a royal banging the shit out of some dude. And
male royal?
Yeah, no, female royal.
Female royal.
And he's also got pictures of some other chick has got pictures of predominant people within the MI6 that are at a brothel. And this stuff is keeping this other dude who smuggles drugs, this Nigerian or whatever, Tahitian guy out of, or Haitian guy out of prison because he has these compromising photos. Well, they convince Handsome Rob and a couple of his knuckleheaded buddies to tunnel underneath a chicken, it's like a Chinese food place called the Chicken Something. And they tunnel underneath and they get into the bank and they steal all this stuff. They're stealing all this jewelry and money and all this shit. And the chick goes right for this safety deposit box with the pictures and takes them. And then Handsome Rob kind of figures it out. And the next thing that happens is, oh, yeah, and there's a guy, the guy that owns the brothel, he's making payouts to the cops, and he keeps, like, this ledger of all the payouts he made to cops, which is also in one of these boxes. So then all these guys are after him. MI6 is after him. The cops are after him. The dirty cops are after him. And this
Handsome Rob, they're after
Rob. They're all after Handsome Rob, and the whole reason why they're after, how they figured it out, what was going on, is because a ham radio operator picked up their communication on their little walkie talkies, and convinced the police that there was a robbery in progress. So the cops didn't know which bank. There was like 700 banks they had to check. So in order to the cops actually went to that bank, but because the vault is on a time lock, they didn't even bother going in because they had no reason to go in there. Those guys were already on the inside because they got in from the inside. So they're like, well, nothing's out of place here, so we'll check it out on Monday when the time lock opens up. And it's pretty good. It's at first I was like, well, yeah, this is kind of screwy. But then I read a little bit about it, and I went, oh, my God, this is like a real... This is a real story. And they kind of pieced parts together because there's the story about the bank job is one thing. And then there's the side stories of the other people that are involved in this. And they don't really have a solid way to tie them together. So they tie it together in this movie because there's stuff that's in it that MI6 won't release until 2054. But there's been recent evidence that these guys were all tied together because of these documents and pictures and all this stuff. So it's a pretty good movie.
The Bank Job.
Yeah. The Bank Job.
With Handsome Rob.
Yeah. Right, yeah, they got away with some big bucks. And he ends up getting away, man, scot-free. His family, the cops gave him passport, or not the cops, but MI6 gave him passports and all the shit. It's really good, man. It's pretty intense, though.
I got a movie quiz for you right now. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to say a line from a movie. You have to tell me what movie this is from. Are you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're screwy.
That'd be... God damn it. See, it just...
Okay, move on.
It's a Wonderful Life.
That's right. Very good.
You're nothing but a scurvy little spider. Speaking of movies, Scott.
Yes. Premier, we are speaking of movies.
Premiere released the top 100 movie lines from...
Top 100.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
You know what 100 is?
I do not.
I see dead people.
I see dead people.
Yeah, Cole Sear. by played by Haley Joel Osment in The Sixth Sense. How about "You're Tearing Me Apart"? That was number 97. James
Dean.
Tearing
Me Apart. Oh, from Rebel Without a Cause,
right.
Of course, yes.
Number 96, Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Really?
Yeah.
Die Hard, Bruce
Willis.
Let's
skip along here. Number 51.
Skip along.
Bond, James Bond.
That's 51?
Yeah.
Who do they give credit?
Sean Connery and Dr. No.
1962,
How about
Dr.
this
no.
one? Number 50. Get away from her, you bitch!
I didn't like that line.
No?
It shouldn't be on there. That's from Aliens.
That's your fucking magazine.
I love Aliens. That's the one line I hate.
How about
I hate
this? Number 15. Number 15. You sly dog. You got me monologuing.
Never heard it.
That'd be the character Syndrome, played by Jason Lee in The Incredibles.
What? Yeah, that's what I
You're
said.
Kidding,
right?
I'm not kidding.
What?
That's, I'm not
I don't
kidding.
Even remember that line.
I me either. This one. Number 10. We'll do the 10 countdown here. Number 10. I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
I'll make an offer he... what? Yeah. What? Say it again.
I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah, I don't think he said it right the first time.
I'll make
of course,
him
that's
offer
the Godfather.
Yeah.
It's movie quiz time.
Adrian!
Rocky.
That's right. You talking to me?
Taxi Driver.
You talking to me? I could have been a contender.
On the waterfront.
Still, I'm just a bum.
On the waterfront.
Yeah.
You can't
All
stop
right.
me.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Oh. Mm.
Gloria Swanson in Sunset Boulevard. That's number 6. Number 5. Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me, aren't you?
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
The Graduate.
Dustin Hoffman, yep.
Talking to...
I don't know. Some chick.
Yeah.
Number 4, Scott. I'm the king of the world!
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
Leonard.
From Titanic.
Leonardo. Leonard. Leonard DiCaprio.
Leonard.
Rosebud. Number 3.
Of course, Citizen Kane.
Yeah. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Yeah, yeah.
Clark Gable. And number 1. What do you think it is?
Number 1. Those guys are fags!
No.
No?
No.
Come
on. You know this one.
I do?
Yeah.
Number Was it in the last 20 years?
No.
Last 30
1942.
Years. 1942.
Narrow it down for you.
Oh, I know what it is.
Yeah.
It's Bogart, right?
Yeah.
Is it Bogey?
Yeah.
I know it's Bogey, but I don't know what it is.
He's looking at you, kid.
Yeah. There
number
you go.
One.
Yeah, number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we take a break, man?
Yeah, why not?
I gotta take a whizzer.
I saw Get Smart.
I didn't see that yet. I got it on DVD.
It's good. It's funny.
It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. My kids were watching it, and I said to my daughter, I said, hey, I didn't hear you guys laughing. Wasn't it funny? Oh, yeah, it was really funny. I said, really? Yeah, it was really funny. Well, why weren't you laughing? Well, you know, some of those parts weren't appropriate for Nathan, so I laughed inside. Okay. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
But that's what she told me.
So if she laughed out loud, Nathan would know what.
Well, he'd ask, what's so funny? What's so funny?
Oh, and she'd have to explain it to
right,
him.
Right. So.
So your older daughter would have to explain to your younger son.
Right. What's
you
up
see,
with that
was funny because he's got a really big
hairstyle.
You know,
yeah.
What
yeah.
Is something like that.
Yeah. All right, so two tunes here. We got Mrs. Robinson from Practice, and I Come From the Water.
Really? I Come From the Water? Really?
It's a good one. It's a good one.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. What's wrong with it?
It's somewhere
it's really
in the
funny.
Middle of it.
There's a funny part. It's very funny.
My bass line goes in a different direction.
I like the W.
That's
I
right.
like Sternberg.
work.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, though.
It is.
You don't
good.
Like it?
No, that's all right.
Come on, man.
Take a
Sorry.
Break. 151.
Yeah, 151.
That's right. We'll be right back, John. Let's
yeah,
bring it to the post.
This is a very good version of
Let's
this.
Let's bring it to the post. Right to the
bring
post,
it to the
John.
Post. Yeah. We'll be back. Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm... John.
You suck.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. We'd like to learn a little bit about you for our files. We'd like to help you learn to help yourself. Look around you all, you see us sympathetic guys. Stroll around the ground until you feel at home. And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Hide it in a hiding place where no one ever goes. Put it in your pantry with your cupcakes. It's just a Robinson's affair. Most of all, you've got to hide it from the kids. And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Sitting on a sofa on a Sunday afternoon, going to a candidate's debate. Laugh about it, shout about it when you got to choose. Anyway you look at it, you lose. Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? Our nation turns its lonely eyes to you. Ooh, what's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? Joe and Joe has left and gone away. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Water, yeah. Life in the desert.
from the water. I come from the water. I come from the water.
I come from the water. That's great, dude.
Dude.
You should sing more songs, man.
I should, man. I should be like the understudy when Rick has a cold so that I sing songs and we don't have to record that cold stuff.
Recording the cold stuff is funny, though, man.
That's right. Beacon Tap, John. December 27th. That's December. A Saturday night. Displays Beacon Tap.
27 December.
Be there or be square.
Be there or be an asshole.
And if you have nothing going on this Thursday night, we'll be at Open Mic Night at the Beacon Tap in Des Plaines.
All right. Let's get back on track. We got celebrity, religion, Andrew's Minute.
Andrew's Minute. We do have a lot of... I gave you some sound clips.
Got some sound clips.
Let's play a couple of those right now. These are, if you want to include them in your library or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
Go and play Horrible.
Horrible.
Play Horrible.
It's horrible. Horrible.
Who was that?
Play it again. See if you can guess.
It's horrible. Horrible.
It's Keith Olbermann.
It, really?
Yeah.
It's horrible. Horrible.
And then play Pastor Poopy.
Pastor Poopy.
You are not going to have diarrhea any longer. In the name of Jesus, I know that's a strange word, but that it just came out of my spirit.
What? Wow.
Yeah, Pastor Poopy.
Wow.
Pastor Poopy.
That's scary, man. What else you got?
I do have a story about spam, John. Spam.
Spam.
What does Keith Olbermann think about spam?
Keith Olbermann?
Yeah.
Is he on?
What do you think he thinks?
Horrible. Horrible.
Horrible.
A new study, John, details how spammers still make pots of money despite only receiving a response. Get this. Get this, John.
1 millionth of a time, right?
To one in every 12,500,000 emails they spam. One idiot in 12,500,000.
Don't be ridiculous.
The study by a team of 7 computer scientists from the University of California, Berkeley, infiltrated the Storm network, which used hijacked home PCs to relay much of the junk email you spend your days waiting through while wondering, who the hell responds to this shit? Well, now you know. One gullible douche in 12,500,000.
Wow.
Now, there's good news, though, John. There's good news.
Oh, all right.
So that's the bad news. The good news is... wait a minute. Let me get some... Here's some
page
more statistics.
Two.
So after 26 days and almost 350 million email messages, guess how many sales resulted in 350 million messages?
How many?
28. 28 douchebags bought something.
Oh, man.
Which will mean it'll go on and it'll go on. It'll go on.
That's all it takes, man.
But here's the good news. The volume of junk email sent worldwide plummeted on Tuesday. Have you noticed that? After a web hosting firm identified by a computer security community as a major host of organized engaged in spam activity was taken offline.
Wow.
That was Tuesday. Did you notice a decline in spam?
No.
After Tuesday?
Not a,
you did not.
Iota.
I did. I did notice. Experts say the precocious
what? The what?
Precipitous drop off in spam comes from internet providers unplugged.
Wow.
Mikolo Corp, a hosting provider in Northern California that has been the home base for machines responsible for coordinating and sending roughly 75% of all spam. So A company responsible for 3 out of 4 spams was shut down, John. That's the good news.
Yeah.
That is the good news.
Whoa, that's good.
Here's
yeah.
the bad news.
What's the bad news? They started another
we
one.
We fully expect this to recover completely and to go on into the highest ever spam period during the upcoming holiday season.
Wow.
So some other company's going to take over, and we're
it.
Still going to get
yeah.
all that shit.
Right.
Just ruin bad it news. For everybody. Ruin it for everybody.
Unbelievable.
Because one douchebag in 12
one
million responds.
One douche-a-bag.
Well, I also read that some woman just last week lost $400,000 to the Nigerian scam. So we're going to get a lot more of those
yeah.
emails as well.
That's just great.
Because some idiot
fucking bitch
gave 400
right.
G's to some guy because of an email.
Unbelievable.
But now from a
you
spammer's perspective, perspective? from a spammer's perspective,
are you okay?
Wouldn't that be like winning the lottery, right? Because you send out 350 million of these things, right?
Yeah.
And this one woman.
One.
Out of 350 million.
Bitch.
It's like winning the lotto. And she gives you 400 G's.
Yeah.
For a couple of emails. It's unbelievable.
Nice.
Isn't it unbelievable?
We got to try that.
All right, turning to religious news, John. This is good religious news. We reported that on this before, John.
Before.
That the pastor of Phelps, the God Hates Fags guy.
Yeah.
Would have to pay $11 million in civil damages for protesting at a Marine's funeral.
Nice.
That judgment has been held up on appeal. So the whoever, who goes after you when you lose a lawsuit? Is it the government? Like, let's say you sue me
yeah.
and I lose $10 million.
Yeah.
You don't come after me. Who comes after me
well,
to get
the
$10 million? So it's the government?
Yeah.
So the government are coming
Cops.
Down on Fred Phelps' ass.
Nice.
He's got to cough up $11 million.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
So I brought a Fred Phelps audio in.
Freddie,
are you ready?
Phelps.
The Pastor Phelps audio.
Fred Phelps.
Fags is a contraction of the word faggots, which is an elegant...
Let me do that again.
Fags is a contraction of the word faggots, which is an elegant metaphor, because they have kindled the fires of God Almighty's wrath, and we are intent upon publishing that message to the whole world. God indeed hates fags.
What's with that backing track?
I don't know.
Is that like a metaphor?
Metaphor.
It's a metaphor, John.
Metaphor.
The backing track.
Fags.
So Fred Phelps and his inbred fucking family should be out of business soon.
Yeah.
John, that's the first
John and Scott
story.
Are a bunch of fag-enabling fools.
That's when he's trying to come down on us.
Yeah. We're suing them now, too.
Right. Yeah, we want some
John
of that.
John and Scott money. Are a bunch of fag-enabling fools.
Yeah.
Right on.
Unbelievable. This fucking guy.
Now, we reported, John, because we are kind of a news thing. We talk about news.
Kind of a news thing. That's what I heard.
We reported in the UK that they have these atheist slogans that are going to be put up on buses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's happening here, too. Did you know that?
No.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It wouldn't be the holiday season without a little controversy concerning God. Starting next week, Metro will roll out a set of advertisements on its buses, sponsored by the American Humanist Association, a non-theist group. The ads will show a picture of a fake Santa Claus and read, "Why believe in God?
Santa Claus, John! The Easter Bunny!
Just be good for goodness sake." The idea being, why believe in God? It is just not necessary, says Roy Schenkthart, executive director of the AHA. And just be good for goodness sake, meaning why not truly do what you can do to be good for the sake
just
of goodness.
For the sake of goodness.
The
for
ads will be
sake.
Displayed on the sides of tailgates of more than 200 Metro buses starting November 18th. And it costs 40 G's.
Wow.
For the most part, we are reaching out to non-theists, to atheists who thought they were alone and now realize there is a way to connect with like-minded folks.
I'm so happy.
But this will also give those people on the fence something to think about.
Yeah.
Well, that's good news, right? Getting the other alternative message out there. Isn't
Santa
that right,
Claus.
John? Santa Claus.
Be good for goodness sake.
But, John,
I like it.
Somebody has a problem with this.
Here we go.
This is happening in America.
About the Pope.
Somebody has a problem with this, John. The campaign comes as conservative Christian groups gear up for their efforts to keep Christ in Christmas. In the past 5 years, groups such as the American Family Association and the Catholic League have criticized or threatened boycotts of retailers who use generic holiday greetings. In mid-October, the Family American Association started selling buttons that say it's okay to say Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
The humanist entry into the marketplace of ideas, John, did not impress AFA President Tim Wilbon.
Fucking AFA. Here we go again with them.
It's a stupid ad, he said. How do we define good if we don't believe in God? God is the Word, the Bible, tells us what's good and bad and right and wrong. If we are each ourselves defining what's good, it's going to be a crazy world, John.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Yeah, for sure.
So wait a minute.
It's not crazy now, but it will be.
Does this guy even read the Bible?
Apparently not.
Because what they define as good is killing other people if they take the Lord's name in vain, for example.
Right.
So there's a very infamous clip. Clip?
Climp.
Of John Wayne drunk at the Academy Awards.
You guys are
saying it's regoddamn-diculous or something like that.
Ridiculous.
Now, according to the Bible, he should have been stoned to death on the spot.
Right.
So is that what he's referring to as good?
But I don't
know. And bad? I don't know. We don't know.
It's regoddamn-diculous, you guys.
Also on Tuesday, the Orlando, Florida-based Liberty Council, John, a conservative Christian legal group, launched its sixth annual Friend or Foe Christmas campaign. Liberty Council has intervened in disputes over nativity scenes and government bans on Christmas decorations.
It's the ultimate Grinch to say there is no God at a time when millions of people around the world celebrate the birth of Christ.
Nice.
The group's chairman and dean of the Liberty University School of Law.
They're just trying to wreck our goddamn country.
Said. I don't know if you know this, but the W hired like 150 of these graduates from the Liberty University School of Law.
Well, I'm just old enough to be your father.
That could be why we're in this shithole we're in right now.
Yeah.
Because of the W.
Yeah.
And these Liberty University School a-holes.
I'm not that crazy.
Certainly. They have the right to believe what they want, but this is insulting.
You know, Scott.
I don't know, John. Tell
me. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is warning that Obama will alienate millions, and abortion opponents are bracing for a fight.
How would he do that?
Yeah, medical researchers, meanwhile, are rejoicing at the prospect of freedom from a government policy they say has stymied efforts to develop life-saving treatments.
Stem cells. You talking stem cells? Yeah.
Like previous presidents, Obama is expecting to issue a flurry of executive orders after he takes office January 20th. Some could reverse Bush administration policies. Other could promote his own. Ending a ban on government funding for research using embryonic stem cells would be among the most controversial. This is a question. How do you do it?
You have to talk like a
this
Dracula.
This is a question. Does the Bush policy get to replace with the law of the jungle? Where scientists can
create... The law of the jungle? Yeah. That's offensive to me. The law of the jungle.
What are they saying? Scientists can create and clone human embryos for the sole purpose of studying their cells and then destroying them, asks Richard Doflinger, the Bishop's Conference Associate Director of the Secretariat for Pro-Life Activities. We are very concerned about it. It's a moral issue.
You got to get more Dracula, man.
I'm sorry.
Dracula.
I just don't have it.
Try the Count from Sesame Street. That might work for you.
A one, a two, a three. I'm a count. Nice. Yeah. That's great.
That is great.
And Scientology are one of our other favorite religions. It says here, a former Scientologist named Peter Letteressi is suing Tom Cruise and his favorite religion.
Tom Cruise?
Yeah. He's suing him for $265 million.
Nice.
According to a fishbowl, L.A. Letteressi's charges include allegations that
Cruise... What's a fishbowl have to do with it?
According to Fishbowl Bowl L.A., I don't know.
Is that a website?
Probably. Letteressi's charges include allegations that Cruz and Scientology bribed and improperly influenced a federal judge. A Florida state judge and federal bankruptcy trustee to tie up his original lawsuit in bankruptcy court. Those are serious charges, and there's no word of proof. So you might be excused for thinking Letteressi is a wacko. Then again, there was that earlier incident when Scientologists tried to convince Letteressi's wife that he was gay, allegedly. It says back in July, Paul Baresi, a private investigator who works for Tom Cruise, gave the Daily News court papers of Letteressi's allegations, including this. Ex-Scientologist Peter Letteressi claims a member of the church phoned his lawyer at home, and when the lawyer's wife answered, she said he was her husband's homosexual lover.
You completely lost me.
All right.
I am so confused.
Letteressi's claims a member of the church phoned his lawyer at home.
Yes. Okay.
And when the lawyer's wife answered, said he was her husband's homosexual lover.
He was the lawyer's homosexual lover?
A member of the church said that he was the lawyer's husband's homosexual lover. So you can see why he holds a grudge.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, why would you hold a grudge?
I don't know.
I mean, if there may be some truth to it, I would think. Because if that happened to me, like if, I guess, excluding you.
Yeah.
If you called the house, or if Beth called the house and said that you were my homosexual lover, my wife already believes that.
Yeah.
So that would be a problem for me. But if anybody else called and said that...
They were. She wouldn't believe it.
She wouldn't believe it.
Oh, then this is going to be great come April 1st. I'm having my wife call your wife. Guess what happened? Guess what I caught them doing? Yeah. 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 Ram it up the poop chute. Yeah.
I wonder what my wife's first question would be.
Did he
Who
like
was the
it?
Picture?
Yeah, the picture.
Picture.
He gave him a reach around.
And who was the catcher?
Yeah.
Right on.
Right.
Because it is a choice, John. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Speaking of religion, Scott.
Hold on, I have one more religious story.
Oh, all right.
And what do you
got? I got a sound clip.
A sound clip?
I got a religious sound clip. They found the Christian gene, by the way.
Go ahead. Play the religious sound clip.
All right. This just in. A bunch of gay scientists have found the Christian gene. Yeah.
Right on.
To the world of biotechnology now, and in a major breakthrough, gay scientists claim to have isolated the Christian gene. Chris Taylor reports.
These homosexual geneticists have spent years attempting to isolate the gene that renders people Christian. As members of the Pink Tiger Research Institute, they're hoping to isolate the cause of Christianity altogether within the next decade.
We have already prevented this rat from being born Christian, and hopefully humans will follow.
Many Christians object to the findings, claiming their belief is not genetically determined.
Christianity is a lifestyle choice. It is perfectly natural.
But Pink Tiger claims the controversial religion is part of people's DNA. They say Christianity can be inherited, just like baldness. Until a method is found to remove the Christian gene, gay scientists are counselling local Christians to make positive changes to their lifestyle and values. Parents of some Christians have welcomed the news with relief.
Well, we always worried that if we'd done something different, our child wouldn't have ended up a Christian, but now we know we didn't have any choice.
Now, thanks to the work of Pink Tiger, there is a choice, which is good for Christians everywhere. This is Chris Taylor for...
For who?
Whoops.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. They've identified the Christian gene, but not the homosexual gene?
Right. Right.
Well, I always
thought,
it was
Christianity
my choice.
Was a choice, but now they found out that it's hereditary.
All right,
it's passed on.
Our last religious story, John. A South Florida man believes he's found Jesus at the breakfast table.
In his
Troy
toast?
Akonenen was eating breakfast at Max Cafe in Pompano Beach last Thursday when he spotted Jesus' face on the last piece of his French toast. After studying the toast, Akonenen says he and his friends also see Christ's left arm raised and holding a cross, as well as two birds over the left shoulder. Akonenen, a bodybuilder and owner of Pompano Beach's Tropical Gym,
boy,
says he isn't planning on selling the toast and hopes that the image will help renew the hope and faith
Excellent.
Of those who see it.
That is religious news.
John, God works in mysterious ways.
He sure does.
You know, we've had him on the show.
Yeah.
He works in mysterious ways. What I really have a hard time coming to grips with is that the most powerful being in the known universe, and there may be other universes.
In toast.
Right. Makes his appearance. He prefers, John,
his appearance
to appear
food.
In French toast. No other medium is good enough for the greatest being
That's right.
ever. You got TV, print, journalism, movies, radio, podcast. Well, he's been on our podcast.
Yeah.
But what does he choose to be? What medium does he choose? The greatest supreme being in the history of the world? In the universe, John.
Right.
History of the universe.
French
toast.
Yeah. French toast.
And isn't it a risky proposition?
Yeah.
I mean, because, you
what
know,
if you
pour,
don't get viewed and you get
If you
eaten.
Pour syrup on there.
Syrup, yeah.
Now, how does this guy eat his French toast that the last piece was remaining?
Yeah, and then you got a moist Jesus.
Usually, I stack my toast up, you know, and
good.
I cut it and eat the whole stack.
Or you throw some powdered sugar, then you got
right.
Jesus doing cocaine.
Then what? Right.
Doing
so,
blow.
How does he eat his first two pieces of French toast and leave this last remaining piece without putting syrup
He's
or powdered sugar on it?
He's about to put the syrup on there, and he goes, maybe he reads his French toast
I'll
every
tell
morning.
You why. I'll tell you why.
Right. Tell me why.
It's God's will.
It's God's will. Will.
All other mediums. Mediums?
Media? Media?
God chooses. He chooses French toast.
Right.
What do you think he'll
right.
choose next? Oatmeal?
Maybe. Meatloaf? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right, John. Turning
maybe.
To celebrity news.
Maybe.
In an interview with Tim Weston, you got to get ready to play the Kanye clip here.
Kanye.
In an interview with Tim Weston, Kanye said, I'm doing pretty good as far as geniuses go. I'm like a machine. I'm a robot. You can't offend a robot. I'm going down as a legend. Whether or not you like me or not, I am the new Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
I am the new Kurt Cobain. They feel like, yo, you know, he's got a God complex because he said if they wrote the Bible again that he wouldn't be in it. duh, yeah, I'd be in it. I feel like I'm one of the more important people in pop culture right now. The Bible had 20, 30, 40, 50 characters in it. You don't think that I would be one of those characters today? In today's modern Bible? And people have their own forms of Bibles now. It's a new day.
Cain, Abel, and Kanye.
In the new age. Conway.
Conway.
Is to music what Michael Jordan was to basketball.
Oh, hell no.
At
now
least
you
that's
go
what
Wes
thinks. This is what he thinks. I'm going to quote him again. I realize that my place and position in history is that I will go down as the voice of this generation, of this decade. I will be the loudest voice, he said in an interview. It's me
down.
Settling into the position of just really accepting that it's one thing to say you want to do it, and it's another thing to really end up being like
wow.
Michael Jordan. All right. So that's a mouthful
yeah.
from a Kanye West. First of all, he's the new Jim Morrison, the new Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
And if the Bible were written today, he would most certainly be one of the characters. That,
oh, yeah.
Not only that, he's to music with Michael Jordan, which we spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
Is to basketball.
MJ. Yeah.
But the most important thing is, John, is he's going to go down as the voice of his generation.
Yeah, you read that. Are you going to keep reading it over
again?
So
now let's hear Kanye. Let's hear Kanye because he is the voice of our generation and of the decade. Let's hear from Kanye.
They portray us in the media. If you see a black family, it says they're looting. You see a white family, it says they're looking for food. And you know it's been 5 days because most of the people are black. And even for me to complain about, I would be a hypocrite because I've tried to turn away from the TV because it's too hard to watch. I've even been shopping before even giving a donation. So now I'm calling my business manager right now to see what is the biggest amount I can give. And just to imagine if I was down there, and those are my people down there. So anybody out there that wants to do anything that we can help with the setup, the way America is set up to help the poor, the black people, the less well off as slow as possible. I mean, this is Red Cross is doing everything they can. We already realize a lot of the people that could help are at war right now, fighting another way, and they've given them permission to go down and shoot us.
What?
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
There you have
Absolutely.
It.
Hey. Oh, really?
That's the voice.
That's the voice.
Of a generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this
what?
Decade, John.
What?
Right there. Kanye.
What?
Right on, brother.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask my business manager how
Why
much.
Why do you have to ask him? Just
money.
Give him everything.
I don't know how much I got.
The greatest thing about that is Mike Meyer standing next to
like,
him.
Yeah, like, oh, my God.
Like, wait a minute. I don't see that on the teleprompter.
Yeah.
What is he doing? And then they cut to, who's the other black guy? He started with Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker. They cut to him.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
okay.
He's stunned. He doesn't know what to say.
He's like, his career's
you're
over.
You saying I got no brains? You saying I got no brains?
Yeah.
Hey, how do you spell Del Rio?
Now, remember, Kanye's the guy who, when he lost some stupid MTV award. Like, who takes MTV awards seriously?
Right.
Especially after Britney won 3 of them last year. He gets all bent out of shape. He goes up when whoever is accepting their award, and he just barges in on him. What an a-hole.
Yeah.
And he's the voice of the generation. Kanye.
Yeah.
What a douche.
Obama is a Mac Daddy.
Right on.
No doubt.
No doubt, John. Other celebrity
Obama
news, John.
Daddy. He's a Mac Daddy.
Funny man.
Yeah.
Rob Schneider. This is bad news for us, John.
Oh, boy.
Funny man Rob Schneider has pulled the plug on Deuce Bigalow movies, insisting there won't be a third film.
What?
That's right, John.
What?
The comic played the unlikely gigolo in two movies, but now insists the franchise is done.
What?
What?
I was chasing a movie to chase a hit with the first sequel. It worked before, so we thought the sequel might work. Whatever that means.
I don't think Sly's too happy about that,
said
dude.
Rob Schneider.
I know you ain't too happy at this moment, you know?
Well, maybe he's not, but we are.
If you're lucky to capture a little bit of magic, it's like capturing lightning in a jug.
That's right, it stinks!
To try and recapture that is foolish! That, to me, artistically and financially, a behemoth amount of money on the first one was such a good lesson. Now, he claims that the first one made $350 million. Is that possible?
You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
I don't want to believe it, but maybe.
Maybe.
It made $350 million?
Can you believe that? No.
That cannot be possible. The first Deuce Bigelow. I understand there's an international market, but really? Come on. Yeah. You got to be kidding me. I was kind of relieved when the sequel didn't hit big because it meant I'll never have to do it again. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be that. He doesn't want to, what do they call it?
I got to tell you, Deuce Bigelow and the second movie are the worst movies I've ever seen. And for him to say to me.
I like the term mangina, though.
Artistically. He says artistically.
Yeah.
To him, it's art.
Absolutely. Hey.
To him, for him to define that as art is insulting to me.
Insulting.
It insults me.
Yeah.
I can shit on a canvas, John, and it would be more artistic than Deuce Bigelow.
It sounds like you're not too
happy at this moment, you know?
That's right. Yeah. That's right, John.
Yeah.
So the good news and the bad news is there will be no more Deuce Bigelow movies.
Yeah.
Has Rob Schneider been in any movie that was halfway
decent?
No,
he always plays some douchebag New Orleans guy. Like, you can do it. He's in like every Adam Sandler movie saying that.
You can't change what we are.
Yeah.
You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
That's right. Maybe the show is over.
Did you see Madagascar?
No.
The new one?
I have not.
So in the previews, there's a new Adam Sandler movie coming out. And it actually looks pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a Disney movie, John.
Well, he's done a couple of good ones.
Which one? Tell me.
I thought...
All right, come on.
I thought Happy Gilmore was good.
All right, I'll give you that. Happy Gilmore is all right.
And that the one where he's... shit.
Yes.
Punch Drunk Love.
Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah. That was a good
one. I'll put Happy Gilmore in front of that one, but I'll give you that. Those are the two passable Adam Sandler movies. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, that'd probably be about it.
Yeah, that's about it. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Put two of them up your ass.
One other celebrity story here, John.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson. Who just married Ryan Reynolds, John.
Oh, yeah.
Actress Scarlett Johansson is still shocked over the vulgar remarks Lindsay Lohan allegedly scribbled about her in a bathroom stall.
Wow.
The Mean Girls star, that would be Lohan,
you fucker! You fucking bitch!
Reportedly wrote, "Scarlett is a bloody cunt." With permanent marker before making her exit during a night out in 2006. And Johansson is still baffled by the graffiti since the two actresses have only met a handful of times. She tells Allure magazine, "I don't know what the motivation was. I remember it was something really vulgar. I mean, shockingly so. Like, whoa, what? Who are you?"
Yeah.
I don't really know Lohan.
Wow.
I only met her like three times.
Don't know Lohan.
But Lohan goes into a bathroom and with permanent marker, John, writes, "Scarlett is a bloody cunt."
Wow.
Well, you must be very proud of yourself.
On the wall.
Yeah.
What is up with that?
Well, you must be very proud of yourself.
Back in when we first started this podcast.
Stop whining.
We reached out to a Lindsay Lohan and said, "Let us manage your career.
Yeah, we'll help you out." And you know what she said?
Don't be ridiculous.
Well, obviously.
She went through
Because her career's in the shitter right now.
She went through the Schwarzenegger.
But if she put that. John and Scott in front of her,
right.
She would be right. She would be in the next Bond movie. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right on. But no, she can't even get a part on TV now.
Yeah, because if anybody messed with her...
One of us is in deep trouble.
Well, not us, but somebody would be.
Somebody, yeah.
Stop being such a pussy.
That's what we'd say.
All right, man. So that's celebrity news. We got science and some politics.
Celebrity news. Science, Scott.
That must be the science intro, John.
Yeah.
How come we don't have one for celebrity?
Shut up. I'm working on it. I'm not going to do Fuck a Star, by, which is really called Star Star. I'm looking for Fuck a Star.
All right, science news, John.
With dead air.
I don't know if you know this, but intelligent humans.
All right.
Well, that says a lot. Intelligent humans evolved because of big-hipped ancestors.
All right.
How about that?
Yeah. Science. It's all science.
The reasoning here is that our female ancestors had wide hips, which allowed them to give birth to babies with big brains, according to new research.
Brains.
The hips of females from the species Homo erectus, a primitive relative of modern humans, have been found to be wider than previously thought. That means they were well-equipped for delivering babies with a larger cranial capacity.
Wow.
Which ultimately allowed intelligent human beings to evolve. Scientists came to their conclusion after reconstructing a 1-million-year-old fossil pelvis discovered in Gwono, Ethiopia. The new pelvis fossil suggests that Homo erectus infants were more than 30% larger than has been believed until now.
Wow.
What does that mean? Than has been believed until now. Like they just made it up like a fairy tale?
Yeah.
Or was there evidence that said, well, this is what we believe because of the evidence? I have a real problem with that sentence. I wonder if this is from New Scientist.
Yeah, it could be. Your favorite magazine.
The need to give birth to large-brained infants was probably the primal driver behind the shape of the pelvis.
Wow.
A narrow pelvis for females would have caused infants to be born with relatively small brains, John.
Wow.
I think we start looking at photos of moms, you know,
yeah,
with some of our friends. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
That would explain a lot.
You saying I got no brains? You saying I got no brains? What? What?
That's
what?
It for science news, John.
I got a quick one. Did you know most people use products that are more damaging to the body without any thought of what they're doing to the body?
Of course.
Just because they were raised to think it's safe?
For example.
Although heavy use of marijuana is not safe, it is a lot safer than most common used drugs in today's market. This article, this is article one, and I'm going to, what am I reading that for?
Spit it out, man!
Shut up! Basically, what this article is talking about is that marijuana used to be used for as a painkiller.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, it still is.
Up until the marijuana was prohibited by the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937, the U.S. Pharmacopoeia listed cannabis as the drug of choice over 100 different diseases. Yeah. This reference was used by doctors since 1820. Cannabis was added to the U.S. Pharmacopoeia in 1870. Since recorded history, marijuana has never been found to cause death by overdose. The history of aspirin is not so long and distinguished. Aspirin, patented on March 6, 1889 by Bayer, who also had the trademark for heroin, Scott. Bet you didn't know that. Aspirin caused an average of 500 deaths per year.
Wow.
Yeah, this is from a medication that is used for pain and heart disease.
Right.
So basically, the pot is better than the aspirin at killing pain with less side effects and no risk of death.
Well, get this, John. Get this.
I'm getting it, brother.
And
what do you got?
Anal assist.
Yeah.
Of 168,000 autopsies conducted in Florida in 2007, found that three times as many people were killed by legal drugs.
Yeah.
Is by cocaine, heroin, and all methamphetamines put together.
Unbelievable, isn't
That's not even counting marijuana, because you can't die from marijuana.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm reading a Sam Harris. Is that the guy's name, Sam Harris? I'm reading one of his books.
End of Faith.
There you go, The End of Faith. Did you read that book?
Yes.
He makes an argument that all these victimless crime bullshit that's on our legal... part of our legal society.
It's all religious-based.
It's all religious-based on sin.
Yeah.
And the idea is that this God, this personal, all-knowing God, can get into everybody's bedroom and can get into their homes and can see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And because of that, these religious people feel that they need to make sin illegal in the privacy of our own homes. And that's why marijuana is
illegal.
Right. But then Sam Harris rattles off some statistics that are really aggravating.
Yeah.
Like, just for marijuana, it's like $4 billion a year.
Yeah.
For a victimless crime.
And could you imagine?
And well, that they let pedophiles out of prison so they make room for people that are smoking pot.
Exactly.
Which is goddamn retarded to me. And he makes an excellent point. I'm sorry, John.
And they could, in these economic times, I think if you legalize a marijuana, you could be dragging in some major revenue on those taxes.
Major revenue.
With cigarettes and alcohol.
Well, he compares it to alcohol.
Yeah.
And the comparison isn't very flattering for alcohol. And this is something that's legal.
Right.
And overall, on an annual basis... It costs us like $25 billion for this war on drugs, for the investigation, for the prosecution, for the judges, the lawyers, and the incarceration.
I mean,
I'm Obama, the first thing I'm doing is reevaluating the war on drugs.
Yeah.
If you want to cut costs, you cut it right there. Boom.
And the only side effects with the pot are... problems with memory and learning and distorted perception, sight, sounds, time, touch, difficulty in thinking and problem solving, loss of coordination and increased heart rate, anxiety, and panic attacks. But these side effects do not last after the marijuana wears off.
What about munchies?
Yeah.
They didn't have munchies in there. So,
but
I would propose.
Listen to this. Aspirin, the side effects of aspirin can be very dangerous. Heartburn, nausea, upset stomach, rash, hives, difficulty breathing, tightness in the chest, swelling of the mouth, face, lips, or tongue, black or bloody stools, confusion, diarrhea, dizziness, drowsiness, hearing loss, ringing in the ears, severe persistent stomach pain, unusual bruising, vomiting, and Rye syndrome.
That's brutal.
Just from aspirin. And yet you can buy it anywhere.
Now, John,
I mentioned take lots of it.
Last podcast that I applied for a position.
Did you get it? Missionary?
They emailed me back. Yeah. I have to fill out the second phase of this initiation process. But now I'm thinking I can come in with some dialogue. I can come in and say, hey, I can save you $25 billion a year and increase the economy.
Really?
Yes. Legalize pot, right?
Yeah.
Now more people are going to smoke pot, and when you smoke pot, what do you got to do? You got to go out and buy a bag of barbecue chips
or fries,
right? Or and that increases the economy, right?
Yeah,
you're spending money on goods and services.
Yeah, you're a genius, Scott.
I am a genius.
You should be president.
Right on.
Ah, yes. Guess what time it's for, Scott? It's what time? What time it is for?
It's for Andrew's Minute?
Yeah. That's right. Another Andrew's Minute. We have this new feature on the show where Andrew from the UK gives us his opinion of us septics over here in the States. And he's even sent his own bumper, as you just heard. So let's take a listen to Andrew's Minute.
Congratulations on 150 shows. You have a great show and put in much more effort than you give yourselves credit for.
I sense a sandwich coming on.
Entertainment and education.
A sandwich, John.
I do have a few issues to raise from episode.
Here's the meat.
First, fill the hole left by the W with his legacy. Forget cosmology. Embrace economics. Form your opinions on taxes, spending, and borrowing. Sure, revel in the demise of Bush, but don't start sucking Obama's dick just yet. Second, the phrase, that's so gay, to insult, is offensive to homosexuals. Saying it's part of the culture is no defense at all. Scott, tighten up your Socratic method. Your rebuttal was totally gay, and what I would expect from a low grey matter Nancy boy. Third, $1 billion of campaign money. Watch out for the payback from Obama to his campaign contributors. Scott doesn't like me commenting because I'm not a US citizen. But if he comments on the UK monarchy and creationist teachers in the UK, then just suck it up, Nancy boy. I love you both like a pair of undiscovered bastard siblings mothered by an Alaskan whore. Cheers, queers.
Get a fucking microphone that worked, motherfucker!
Yeah, dude, you gotta put a pop screen on that thing. I had to limit the shit out of that.
Wait a minute, you had to work with that before you played it? How long did you spend on that?
About 4 hours.
4 hours?
Yeah.
Hey, come on. We don't want extra work. It does stink. So get the shit together before you send it to us. Why couldn't you play it as is? Would it be just unlistenable?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Doesn't this guy do a podcast? He does his own podcast, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So why is he not getting this right?
Here, I'll play it for you.
This is unaltered.
This is unaltered.
Anytime.
Congratulations on 150 shows. You have a great show and put in much more effort than
I can't tell the difference.
Thanks from me for the entertainment and education.
A little more popping.
I do have a few issues to raise from episode 150. First, fill the hole left by the W with his legacy.
Okay, you can stop.
Embrace economics.
You can stop.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a little bit more popping.
Yeah.
Congratulations on 150 shows. You have a great show and put in much more effort than you give yourselves credit for. Thanks from me for the entertainment and education. I do have a few issues to raise from episode.
All right, then. Now to address his points. I don't think I could ever, ever in my entire history of the world, the universe, get into economics. Could you, John?
It's a philosophy.
Economics?
Yeah.
Is a philosophy?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could ever get into it. I can't even get into balancing my checkbook. How could I get into the philosophy of economics?
The problem with economics is that, in my opinion, is that it lacks... the whole human behavior component. It's all a bunch of statistics and stuff, but none of them can agree on what's the right way to come up with a mathematic model that works every time.
Well, it seems to me that the number of variables are so overwhelming.
They're infinite.
Yeah, how could you do anything? I don't know. But it's not anything I'm interested in.
I mean, you know, there's a bunch espousing to the Milton Friedman free market economics, and you got your trickle down and all this crap. And when you start thinking about human behavior and the psychology of greed, which they talk about a lot in What is that that thing? It's not a science. It's sort of a pseudo kind of science. Well, maybe it is a science. Biological psychology, or what is it called?
Sounds good to me. Biological psychology.
Evolutionary psychology.
Right.
And they talk about how siblings will be presented with, one sibling will be presented with two pieces of pie. And he'll give the smaller one to his or her sibling and keep the larger one almost every time. And it's the same with economics, the same with...
Is the sibling younger or older?
They don't really say.
I would assume that you would give the pie to the older sibling, and then they would, of course, cut a smaller piece for their younger sibling.
So they're presented with two pieces of pie. One's larger than the other, and they right. automatically assume here.
Yeah, because I'm the older sibling. Here, okay, I'm going to give
twins.
My younger sibling.
They're twins.
They're twins?
Yeah.
Then I would say, well, what did I have to eat today? Well, you know what?
Yeah,
I had a,
right.
I had a double cheeseburger today.
Yeah, okay.
Here, you can take the bigger piece. I'll take the smaller one.
Right, right.
See, and even just this one little thing that you're offering here has so many variables.
Exactly. But there's, just like when we talk about the Ayn Rand philosophy of objectivism, it lacks psychology. All of this stuff, when you're talking about philosophy, when you're trying to get to the root of all things that happen, there's a psychology in there that is
no,
goes all
I disagree.
The way back.
Not
Why?
All philosophy. I disagree with that.
Like what?
I agree that there are certain things that you have to take human behavior, the individual human behavior, into your perspective. But philosophy in general, you don't need to take human behavior into it. If you're talking about the acquisition of knowledge, if you're talking about ethics, you don't need to include human, individual human behavior in those arguments. I disagree with you
Why?
There, John.
Why?
Respectfully so.
Why?
Well, let's talk just about ethics. You got your utilitarian, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Which is, if it's good for the masses, it's good for everybody. So that means I can steal to, if I can steal from one person.
Robin Hood.
And serve 10 people, then that's good from an ethics perspective. Where Kant would say, would say that that's not good. You can't do that. So there's no really individual perspective involved there. You're talking about on an overall societal basis there, John.
Yeah, but isn't in an overall societal basis, isn't there some component of psychology that makes up society?
I'm sure there is.
In a metaphysical world,
but
maybe you want
to
talk
that...
about reality, but when you're talking about ethics or any component that relies on some form of behavior... I mean, ethics, in some point, you have to make
well, look,
the distinction
you're,
between right and wrong.
Who was the utilitarian? Was that John Locke? He was the one who said, from a society perspective. Kant was the one who said from an individual perspective. So if you're examining it from Kant's perspective, you need to include this individual psychological behavioral muckety-muck that you're talking about. If you're talking from the other perspective, you don't need to include that.
Why
That's
not?
I'm saying.
You're talking about, what about Christianity?
What about it?
Yeah.
Bring it on.
There's no psychology involved in that?
In what? In what aspect?
The ethics of Christianity, what they believe in as far as what's ethical.
Well, what do they believe is ethical?
Ethics as far as God's way. You got to do it this way because God says so.
God's
and
word.
And it's better for everyone this way.
It's better.
Yeah, God's word.
Well, they think that if you don't subscribe to God's way, then how could you possibly even have any morals or ethics?
Right.
So do you want to engage that type of person in conversation?
No, but what I'm saying is that there's some psychology developed within there. There's behavior. There's things that are happening that somebody's talking to these people. They just didn't pick up a Bible. Somebody interpreted the Bible for them and told them what to think. You need to think like this.
Right.
Or you're going to die and go to hell. And there's going to be black spots in your soul. And they count them. And then they put you even deeper into hell.
Right. So behavior. Is behavior tied to genetics, in your opinion?
Psychology.
Is behavior tied to genetics?
I don't know.
I'm saying that it is.
So, I thought we were talking about economics.
We were. But now you're talking about religion. Now
philosophy.
I'm saying my...
I said economics is philosophy.
Opinion, my opinion about behavior, specifically with religion, is that it is genetic. You are genetically predisposed to believe in fairy tales.
Shut up, you idiot.
That's what I'm saying.
You're moronic.
It's not a choice.
Yeah, it is.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
Yeah, it is.
I've been reading a lot. I've been reading Hitchens. I've been reading Harris and Dawkins. And Dennett.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do to change these people's minds. And we talked about a science study that we had before. More facts you present these people, the more they'll cling to the fairy tales. So that has to be a genetic
component.
Okay, so
they have a stubborn gene.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that they have a
we just ran a clip of a Christian gene.
The pink tiger scientist.
Yes. And that's what I believe, that there's a gene for this type
all right.
Fundamentalism,
yeah,
where your mind is not
okay,
open.
You win by attrition.
There's genetics. There's either critical thinkers or there's believers in fairy tales, one or the other.
Right.
And that's the gene
all
we have
I'm
to
saying
isolate.
Is when we talk about economics, there's a factor of psychology that's left out in the consideration of
agreed.
Of a... economical model.
Agreed. Now, how did we get here?
Because I said economics is a form of philosophy. It's a philosophy, and a lot of I think philosophy is also leaves out the psychological component, as in objectivism, Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand. Is that really philosophy?
I don't know. Well,
I don't think it is.
You know,
I think she wrote a novel in some... hoity-toity Manhattan people said that this is a new philosophy, and they got behind it. Yeah.
So Socrates said, I'm a philosopher.
He never said that.
Said, oh, you are?
He never said that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Somebody dubbed him as a philosopher,
right,
like they're dubbing Ayn Rand.
Right. So who's doing the dubbing is the...
Penn Jillette.
Penn Jillette.
He's a big fan.
Of Ayn Rand?
She's one of his heroes he professed on his show.
Come on.
I'm not kidding. Look it up.
Well, you know, I started to...
He also
to,
said he sucked a dick, too, and it doesn't mean he's gay.
When he said that I was smarmy, I started...
That was it.
You know, I was on the fence.
Yeah.
And now that I... Learn he's an Ayn Rand rear end fan.
Yeah,
forget it. He's done.
A lot of those Reason magazine goofs are Ayn Rand fans.
All right, getting back to Andrew's minute. His second
Sean
point
Scott.
That he made about my argument for that's so gay.
Yeah.
I completely agree with Andrew UK on this. That was a very poor argument. It wasn't even an argument. You can't even define what I said as an argument. It was miserable. It was horrible.
What argument? What are you talking about?
I made something about... I don't know how to phrase it appropriately.
Yeah.
But if you're a male in our society, in our culture...
Yeah.
And you want to... Like, if I want to take you down a notch...
Yeah.
I will make a reference to you being either a woman or a homosexual.
Yeah.
Now, like, for example, if you were to do something and I said, that's so gay.
Yeah.
I can't understand why any gay person would be offended by that. For example, I don't have hair, John. I'm bald.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there are many references to me being not as masculine as I could be because I have a bald head. So
yeah,
there are clever ways to do that, which I enjoy and I think are funny.
Yeah.
And there's generic hurtful ways to do that.
Very hurtful ways.
No, I would not say there's a hurtful way. I don't get hurt by any bald joke you can throw at me. I do not get hurt by that.
Yeah.
It doesn't even exist a hurtfulness for that because I'm bald. It's not a choice. It's something that happened to me. It's something that, you know, it's part of
yeah
my identity. It's what I the same thing for gay people. It's not a choice. It's what happened to them. So when I am talking to you, John,
yeah,
and you do something, and yeah, I say, yeah, that's so gay, I can't imagine a gay person being offended by that. But Andrew is correct. The initial argument I made was really lame because I didn't know how to phrase it. And I'm probably not phrasing it well right now either. So we'll hear from him in his next Andrew's Minute.
You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is
Oh, getting back to Obama. Are yeah we really sucking his dick?
I don't think so. No.
I think we're just so relieved that McCain yeah and Palin didn't get in office. I mean, it could have yeah been anybody. I could have voted a pile of shit in.
Yeah.
And I would have been more happy than voting McCain and Palin into office.
I think Andrew is, he doesn't like black people.
You think that's it?
I'm wondering if he's an Afrikaner.
An Afrikaner? Yeah. What's that?
He's one of those South African, that's what they call the white Brits in Africa. An Afrikaner. Yeah, with a K. Afrikaner.
Afrikaner.
Yeah. I don't know. He's got a bug up his ass about Obama because the guy raised $750 million in what he doesn't realize is that most of that money came from donors that donated an average of $87 to $81 each.
Right. Whatever that means.
So he's not withholding to any major corporation. I'm sure there's some.
Well, here's the thing that I like already.
They're beholden.
He's got the transition team in place. There's actual transition work being done. When Bush got into office, he didn't hear about
like
any of that stuff.
The day he voted in.
Yeah, he showed up. He's like, what do I do now? Where do I sleep? It's a White House.
I want everybody to hear loud and clear that I'm going to be the president of everybody.
Not only that, during his campaign, he talked down to lobbyists. He said lobbyists have no place in government. And then when he gets into office, he eliminates lobbyists, and he's putting together this ethics and this lobbyist, get lobbyists out of the process thing during his transition.
Yeah.
That's all good news to me.
Yep. Yeah.
Not only that, Newsweek.
There'll
talked about it last
lobbying
week.
There's no way he's going to get rid of it all because he's going to hurt the pocketbooks of all the future lobbyists and especially Biden's son.
Oh, he's a lobbyist?
Yeah.
The other thing is last week we talked about we didn't know about this Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah.
Why is he bringing him in? Is he bringing him in because he has the same views or he has different views? And if he had different views, Obama's modeling himself after Lincoln, who brought in people that didn't agree with him. And it turns out Newsweek comes out this week because it is a weekly Newsweek. And they say that Obama's modeling his administration after Lincoln's.
Yeah.
And we called it on John and Scott TTN. Yep. Do we get credit? No.
No.
We don't get credit in the Newsweek article. Not us.
Some are saying that the team of Obama, Biden, and Clinton are akin to a Washington, Adams, and Jefferson administration.
Heard that today. Which one would Biden be?
I don't know.
Because he's kind of loose with the language and the lips.
Loose with the lips?
The lips.
Yeah. I don't know. Adams?
Right on. Well, now we've talking about been talking about politics, John. I brought a Palin clip in. Palin was asked, will you run in 2012? And what about those Africa comments? And here's what she had to say.
Okay, God, if there is an open door for me somewhere, this is what I always pray. I'm like, don't let me miss the open door. Show me where the open door is. And even if it's cracked up a little bit, man, maybe I'll plow right on through that and maybe prematurely plow through it. But don't let me miss an open door.
Back in her beloved Alaska, busy preparing hot dogs, the self-styled hockey mom then confronted some of her campaign banana skins. Was she really confused about Africa?
Never, ever did I talk about, well, gee, is it a country or is it a continent? I just don't know about this issue. So I don't know how they took our one discussion on Africa and turned that into what they turned it into.
Now, you won't find that interview here in America, John.
No.
I had to go get that off the BBC.
Yeah.
As you can tell by that very eloquent newscast.
Yeah.
A couple of things here. First of all, this is what I often pray for.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
An open door.
An open door. Lord Jesus, please open this door. Please open this door. Oh. See? You just pray and it happens.
And then the other thing is, last week we played a clip of her saying that, you know, I said it. I don't know how it was taken out of context.
Yeah.
And now to the BBC, she says, I never said it. I never even talked about Africa.
Yeah.
So which one is it?
I don't know. Who cares? She's fucking old news.
You think she's done?
She's
done. You think we'll hear from her again?
Probably, but she's the people are so... Unless Obama really fucks up big time, they don't have a fucking cold chance in hell, a snowball's chance in hell of doing anything. The scary part is that I think more Republicans are going to lose seats in the Senate and the House, and it's going to be all-out Democrats, which is kind of scary. The good news is there a lot of them are wishy-washy, so they don't necessarily all fall in line like the Republicans do. Those guys march lockstep, and they toe the line, and they just boom. Whatever the president says, we do exactly what he says. We don't. It's all about party loyalty, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the Dems are real rogue, man. They're just like, fuck that. They're either way liberal, they're center left, they're center. You got a couple of them that are independent. You got people like Elmer Fudd, Joe Lieberman. Oh, I'm hunting rabbits.
You know, I had an opportunity to listen to Rush today.
Yeah.
And Rush is saying that the recession that we're in is not the W's fault.
Of course.
It's the Democrats.
Yeah, it's always, yeah.
So he spent like 10 minutes giving his theory. And I'm thinking, what a bunch of shit. But then these books I've been reading about religion and why I think it's genetic, that you can't change people's minds, is people are listening to this.
Oh, yeah.
And they're buying into it. And there's nothing you can say or do. You could present them with 100 facts that tell them that they're completely wrong, and they will cling more to the lies.
Yeah.
And what do you do with people like that?
I don't know. But I'll tell you what. I'm buying a gun.
If we can figure out how to get through to people like that, there's a kabajillion
dollars. I'm buying
dollars
a gun to keep those fuckers off my property. That's what I'm telling you right now. I told the wife I'm getting my firearm owner identification card. I already looked into it, and I'm getting one.
What are you getting, man? Like a Glock?
No. I'll probably get like a James Bond gun, like a P25 or whatever it is.
Yeah, P25. That's it.
Oh, listen to you. What are you getting, a Glock? You Glock sucker. You Glock sucker.
My father-in-law has a Glock, and I shot it, man. Yeah. He let me shoot
it. I shot lots of guns in my day.
Yeah.
They weren't mine, but
no.
No. And they weren't my father-in-law's.
Well, you know, earlier, well, let's get back to Andrew. Thank you, yeah. Andrew, for the UK minute.
Another UK minute.
Another UK minute from Andrew. You said that Andrew, you thought that Andrew may have a little racism in his belief system.
No, I just said I don't think he likes black people.
Get this, John. Although Obama beat John McCain in the popular vote by an impressive 7-point margin, McCain beat Obama among white voters by an even more impressive 12-point margin. Obama got 53% of the broad electorate to the vote, but only 43% of the white electorate.
So what?
When I say white electorate, I don't mean white working class, John. I don't mean white Southerners or any other subgroup. I mean all white voters.
Yeah.
43%.
Yeah, you figured that was going to go that way.
Why so? Why do you figure that?
Because there's a lot of white people that are just like, I don't know, what's his name? Joe.
So even then, you're voting Biden. For Joe Biden or John McCain. Wouldn't you rather vote for Joe Biden over John McCain if you're a white person?
Well, what are you saying? That 50-some percent voted for McCain just because he's white? I can't believe all 57%.
No. Here's what I'm saying. 25% of them voted because he's McCain.
Yeah.
The other, let me do my math, 32% voted for McCain because Obama's black. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So 32%, but Obama still got the majority of the white votes.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, because 25% of the full 100% is what you said, right? Voted for McCain because he's McCain.
Right.
Only 32% voted for McCain because he's white, because Obama's black.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So out of that.
I see how you're
doing.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yes, I see how you're carving up the statistics, John.
Oh, it's fuzzy math, Scott.
It's fuzzy math.
It's fuzzy math.
It's fuzzy math. So out of the 43% that voted for him, only 32% voted for him, didn't vote for him because he was black.
Yeah, but see, the statistics are a tricky thing.
They are tricky.
Because that 32%, you don't know if they just voted for McCain because they thought, oh, shit, you know. If Obama gets in there, it might not be just because he's black. Maybe they think, okay, like I said, he's going to get assassinated and something bad's going to happen, and there's no way he's gonna get the cooperation he needs just because he's black. Like I told you that story once that I said to my wife, we can't give a black Barbie to a black kid.
Right.
That's not our place. What the fuck was I thinking? But for
know.
A moment, I had this, from my upbringing or whatever it was, I thought I was going to offend somebody so bad that I put my proverbial foot in my mouth by saying something stupid like that and became the laughing stock of the black community. Rightly so, because it was stupid. But for a fleeting moment, maybe those people had some other reason other than just, well, I'm racist. I'm not going to vote for him.
Well, I'm not saying their motivation was, I'm racist, I'm not going to vote for him. But whatever thought that they had, like your thought that I don't want to give a black doll to a black person. So they don't know that their actions are racist.
Maybe we picked the wrong color black. I don't know. It was
stupid. It's not dark enough, honey.
What if we picked the wrong shade? How do you know this isn't a Mexican Barbie? Maybe it's Puerto Rican. I don't know. It was dumb.
I don't know.
It was dumb.
I don't know.
But
so Obama.
You know.
Mac Daddy.
But it's a step in the right direction, I thought. It's phenomenal history. Only in America.
Only in America,
that's
John.
Right.
That's right. How are we doing on time?
It's like, what is it? 20 after 11?
No, overall.
Oh, 226.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can cut some shit out of there. Yeah. Let me get the door.
Cut some shit out
of what? I'll tell Phil to keep it short.
Wait, I'm going to pray for the door to open.
Hold up.
Lord Jesus, please open the door.
Just like Palin.
Right about now.
Hey.
Oh, my God.
What's
holy crap.
Hey, you got to keep it short.
The door opened, like, burn right away.
Get your cans on. Keep it, like, if you got four pages. Just
gentlemen.
All right?
Gentlemen.
All right, I think he's got it, man. What happened? You used to mute his mic until he gave me the thumbs up. What, you left it on? It's been on this whole time?
What is he doing with his papers? Oh, he just tore one. Great.
Well, I told him to get rid of two of his four pages.
Jesus Christ, are you ready? Holy crap.
Oh, he's still getting his headphones on.
Is he listening?
Yes, of course I'm ready.
With your award-winning TTN News.
I'm upset that I have to cut my news short, but I understand timelines, deadlines. I am a man of news, and I understand what it's like to have to get the news out.
That's right.
On time.
Yeah, this isn't the Today Show,
under
okay?
Under a time constraint.
You're not Matt Lauer.
That's
let's
right,
go.
John. And our first story tonight, John.
Am I supposed to do something? What? Come on, Phil. Spit it out.
He looks upset. Were we supposed to do something? I mean, was John supposed to play the... Usually I say it's my first story tonight and John plays the stinger.
I don't play anything.
All right, then.
First story tonight. And I laugh and then you say it.
All right. I'm confusing this with my real job where I get paid real money. And my first story tonight. Mission accomplished. Bush's approval rating, the lowest ever recorded. And related news, John.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Employing usually vivid religious imagery for the secular United Nations, President Bush on Thursday praised the transformative and uplifting power of faith and said religious belief leads us to common values. As long as those common values are illegal war, murder of civilians, torture, and indefinite imprisonment without evidence. What a douche. Next story, John. Scientologists refuse psychiatric help for their daughter. Because it turns out that Tom Cruise was right. Daughter is doing just fine with e-meter readings and auditing. I'm just kidding. Without psychiatric help, she killed her father and sister and
what?
Seriously wounded her mother. Next story, John. Oh, I'm sorry. It's still the same story. She had a history of being diagnosed with psychiatric illness in late 2006 at Bankstown Hospital. But follow-up from a Bethel team was apparently declined by her parents because of their alleged Scientology beliefs, Dr. Cross said. The woman is accused of fatally stabbing her 53-year-old father and 15-year-old sister at a family home in Hydre Street in Sydney's southwest side. It is also alleged she stabbed her 52-year-old mother.
As in a town in southwest side.
Raised the alarm as she collapsed in the neighbor's garden.
Ah, yes.
The mother's remains in his... I'm sorry, John. The mother remains serious but stable condition.
Spit it out!
After undergoing surgery for multiple stab wounds.
Next story, John, as I try to get it together.
British hospitals increasingly treating children under the age of 10 for alcohol poisoning.
Oh, right.
Presumably after they tried to wash down the horror that is British food. Next story, John.
Oh,
it's horrible.
Zoo cleaner. A zoo cleaner, John, made a horrible mess. A cleaner at Singapore Zoo has died after being mauled by three tigers.
Horrible.
Nordin Bin Montong was attacked by the white Bengal tigers after crossing a moat surrounded their enclosure. He was reportedly acting erratically. Zookeepers raised the alarm after they heard the screams of horrified visitors. They managed to distract the tigers and pull Mr. Nordgren away, but he died of his injuries on the way to the hospital. The Straits Times newspaper in Singapore says witnesses saw the cleaner climb into the enclosure and wade through a 10-meter wide moat. He then approached the tigers with a broomstick and a bucket, John. According to the paper, the largest tiger lunged at Mr. Norden, who fell immediately and recoiled into the fetal position.
Was it a meowless tiger?
It was not, John.
Meow. I don't even know what that means.
Next story. John, next story. Having been rejected, conservatives are humbled and determined to work with Democrats to help America.
Really?
I'm just kidding. They're already selling impeach Obama stickers before Obama even takes office. Next story, John.
The Democratics?
A Waldo man, John, has been charged with driving under the influence and urinating on a cop. A 35-year-old Waldo man was charged Wednesday for allegedly driving drunk, then urinating on the arresting officer while in the squad car. Police say Daniel Schultz of 720 West 2nd Street was pulled over at 2 a.m. in the police city of Plymouth after the officer saw him drive in a parking lane and nearly strike a curb while making a turn. According to the criminal complaint, the officer followed Schultz as he put into a gas station and, as he pulled into a gas station and struck a pole. Then nearly backed into a squad car before becoming to a stop.
What?
Schultz was arrested after the officer smelled alcohol on his breath, and Schultz failed a field sobriety test. The complaint said, while en route to the police station, Schultz urinated in the back seat of the squad car and also sprayed some urine through the center divider, striking the officer in the back of the head. He could face up to 15 years in prison.
Wow.
Next story, John.
Big mouth. You know, you just talk too much.
Next story, John. This is more of an editorial, more of a thought-provoking Phil McCracken-Wickham moment. Here on Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm just wondering, John, you know, since gay marriage was banned in California, why hasn't... Since it was banned...
What are you, Andy Rooney?
Phil cracks me up, man.
I'm glad I can amuse you, Scott.
The Democratics?
Let me start over. So rudely interrupted. Since gay marriage was banned in California, why hasn't God put out all the wildfires? Next and last story, John. Scientists determine why ugly people don't get picked up at speed dating. Turns out, it's because they're ugly. And that's the news, John. I'm Phil McCracken. Wake up. We'll make it a total talk nonsense with John and Scott.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, John. I got to go.
I'm already out of the door. I got to get going.
I pray for the door to open right now. Oh, doesn't he? Well,
all right.
That was out of sight. That's the quickest newscast
ever.
I
told him to shorten it. He shortened it. The guy's a professional.
We didn't get a chance to get to Pat McGroin's phone call.
Pat McGroin called us.
Yeah.
Well, do we have another 10 minutes? I mean, we could play it, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
No, really? I was kidding.
Anyway, well, he just called to say that
that we totally rock.
Dog was funny.
Yeah, of course.
It was so funny. And the howl. I don't understand it, man. Why it cracked me up? I had to listen to it like 8 times.
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Is it timing?
Timing, yeah.
Is it something
genius.
Else?
It was pure genius.
Pure.
All right, that concludes another episode of John and Scott's Total Talk Nonsense. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we'll be back next week. Hey. And we need to get Bob and God back on the show, and I think Alfie is doing for a...
Yes, of course. Alfie the Elf. Christmas season is coming up.
Yeah, we'll have to do...
God and Bob.
Another top 10 holiday movies. Maybe we'll say top 10 holiday comedies or, you know, limit it to.
Have we done top 10 holiday songs?
Yes.
And we've done top 10 holiday movies?
Yes.
I think there's nothing left.
Well, what we else haven't can we done do? Top 10 holiday comedies or top 10 holiday action films or top 10 holiday pornos.
Are there 10?
Top 10 horror flicks.
Wait a minute. Not Christmas, but just overall.
Yeah, Christmas. Like top 10 Christmas horror flicks like Christmas. Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Are there 10 Christmas horror flicks?
Yeah, I'm sure there
really?
Are. Really? Oh, we'll have to research that and watch them. Watch all 10.
Now, top 10 Christmas comedies, yeah. I can think of maybe 5 of them.
Really?
Yeah, but I'd have to research the others. You know, I don't have time for that.
Okay, top 5.
All right, top 5. That's better.
Top 5 memorable holiday moments.
That's right.
We got any, like, family holiday moments?
I don't know.
We can discuss.
Well, what about guests? When are we going to get a guest?
Ah, right. We need some guests.
Nobody wants to come in anymore.
Nobody.
Why is that?
I don't know. Because we do it on Sunday or Monday.
We haven't played Shit or Shinola in I don't know how long.
That's right.
We can't get a guest to show up. What does that say?
I don't
about
know,
us
man.
As broadcasters and communicators, John.
I don't know.
You don't want to believe it.
Are we too smarmy and arrogant? Is that it?
I don't know.
You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
I believe it. I want to believe it.
What? Oh, here we go. See, I knew it wouldn't be long now. He wants to believe it.
I
want to
believe
done.
It. No, I mean like this show, like this episode.
Oh,
I know you ain't too happy at this moment, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you know?
You know.
I know you ain't too happy at this moment. You
hey,
know?
How do you spell Del Rio?
Hey, I don't know.
Spider Rico.
I don't know. I don't know.
Hey, how do you spell Del Rio? Are you hungry? Absolutely. Hey.
Hey. I clicked on all these buttons. Listen to how many times he says, you know.
You know, you've got a big mouth, you know? You've got a big mouth, you know? You just talk too much. You got me curious. I say you're very shy by nature, you know? I know you ain't too happy.
Oh, that reminds
woman,
me.
You know?
My computer crashed.
I just dislocated my finger.
My computer crashed.
Yeah.
I'm resubscribing to all these podcasts, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to catch up with Punky, right?
Yeah,
it's
right.
been a long time since I listened
long
to Punky.
Long time.
So I go to the Punky website,
right.
And I click on the first show, and I'm like, wait a minute, I want to take them in order, right? I want to.
Yeah.
So I click on, I stop that one, and I click on the show in order. And then I click on another show.
Yeah.
And I found a great way to catch up on Punky.
Yeah.
You can click on all the shows, and they'll all play at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And that way you can catch up, right? So
yeah.
I listened to 5 shows at once. I brought a clip in. Here's what it sounded like.
Come on!
Oh, fucking shithouse bollocks.
And I was able to catch up
yeah,
with all my Punky
way,
listening.
That's a good way to do it.
I
man.
Thought that was genius.
It is. It is
pure,
pure
genius,
pure,
John.
Pure.
Not impure.
It's pure.
Pure.
It's pure genius.
That's right.
Pure. That's my radio voice. It's pure genius.
All right, let's bring it to a close. I got an international call at 6 a.m.
tomorrow.
Yeah,
me too, man.
I'm
going to
be on.
Oh,
on...
you international.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't even know fucking international.
Oh, I know international.
I had to fly to Germany for my international calls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to fly there and then make a call from a phone booth. Just shut up. Don't tell me. Don't you tell me. Don't be ridiculous.
Don't be ridiculous.
All right, John.
So shut up!
All right, that's it for this week.
Wrap it up, 151, and I am Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to John and Scott.
On Total Talk Nonsense.